about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. All right, and you must be ready to cheer. You've been waiting a while. You gotta be pumped up for this.
I'm pumped, baby. I'm pumped. I'm half my voice already gone, but I got more to come. Don't worry.
Did you save a little bit of your voice for this moment? It's about to happen.
Hell yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It's great to be here at Saturday Night Live, but I'll be completely honest. It's even better for Saturday Night Live that I'm here. Nobody's bigger than me. Nobody's better than me. I'm a ratings machine.
Shut up.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's up?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I like soccer. It is good.
Roll another one.
Why do I need all of these facts?
Just like the other one.
I believe that's what you call observational.
This one seems to be about to quit.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine.
Black people are dissatisfied.
Roll another one.
Why not tell me everything you know?
Just like the other one.
Everyone you love will die.
My kind of guy.
I don't have another cent.
Forget everybody. I want to be the president of the United States.
I'm Larry Flint. I approve this message.
Just pass it around.
Boy, Joe's cranking already.
Your damage is endless.
Just pass it.
And now.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes. I knew you'd go. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
Our feature presentation.
Oh, people loved the meatloaf story yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we hear from the broken-hearted meatloaf loser?
Not that I know of.
Right. I don't know that she's a loser.
No, I'm saying meatloaf loser. She lost her meatloaf.
Oh, the one who lost her meatloaf.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
We think it's a she.
It could be she or he, whichever.
Yeah.
I haven't heard, but I wonder if the person who did it, if it was malicious or if it was just a careless. It certainly wasn't a mistake. They certainly knew they stole somebody else's meatloaf.
I wonder
if they were doing it to like be heartless and mean and cruel, or if it was just something they did, you know, without thinking about. And what will their next move be? The person stole meatloaf.
Right out of the company, one way ticket. That's the move.
I don't know. I find it hard to believe that somebody just wants to be that much of a straight up dick. You know what I mean?
Like,
I would hope not. Unless it is personal. Unless, hey, I knew whose meatloaf it was, and this was my attempt to get under their skin. Unless there's some sort of problem going on between employees that we don't know about.
Oh shit! Here we go. It's on. Race war.
We don't know that it's a
race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
I think it's more Meatloaf Hannibal.
Meatloaf Hannibal.
It is.
I do feel that unless someone steps forward, I feel like Beer Mug should just be fired, though, because I feel like someone should go for this, right?
Just let someone go for the whole
infraction. Yeah, let it be Beer Mug, because if we don't know who it is, that's just a safe
I think that's fair.
I think.
And then people feel like, action was taken.
Right.
So that's good. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing I've learned from watching TV is that, you know, you have to give the press somebody. You got to point to somebody that was at fault and make sure they're fired, even if they had nothing to do with it. So,
remember when you used to have examples that, from TV. Remember when you used to have examples that came from life?
Yeah.
I don't. I really don't.
It's all TV.
Hey, it is Friday. great news, and we do have a big show planned for you today, but I want to start with this story that I thought was interesting. We just had a conversation off the air earlier this week where we were talking about how Bill Gates and other super, super wealthy people are giving away their money. They've decided that they're not going to pass it down to their kids. Their kids aren't going to be broke when they die, but they're certainly not going to be set for life. They're definitely right. going to have to work. And I'm always fascinated with what people do with their inheritance. And I think a lot of kids think that they are entitled to their parents' estate.
Absolutely.
Don't you?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Hey, I'm your son or I'm your daughter. Therefore, when you die, what you have is mine. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I think that's an attitude that a lot of people have. And if you're lucky enough to be raised in a household where they have a lot of money, you feel like you've hit the jackpot even though you didn't have to do anything.
Well, I mean, in their defense, that is sort of how it happens for 99% of people.
Absolutely.
You know, if their parents have money and come from money, then they get it.
That's... And a lot of parents enable that attitude
yeah,
as well.
True.
So.
Very true.
Very much so. You know, so what's the old expression about being born on third base and thinking you hit a triple, right? Well, that's why I found this story interesting. This is an 85-year-old woman in Austria who died in the last couple of weeks or so. She was in a retirement home. She had been in ill health for some time. And for whatever reason, not enough details in the story.
Of course.
She decided she did not want her children to get her estate. Which, by the way, was over $1 million, her estate.
Okay.
So what she did before she died, I guess she had some advance warning, is she cut all of the money up into tiny little pieces and left it shredded on her bed.
Oh.
She cut it all up.
She
didn't want her kids to have her money.
Right.
Give it away.
Any charity or anybody on the street, even. What are you cutting it up for?
She destroyed the money. 950,000 euros, as well as her savings accounts books, were found shredded on her bed.
She's a bitch.
The state prosecutor was contacted. He confirmed the discovery, but said there was nothing he could do for the relatives. The damage of the money and the woman's property is not a criminal matter, so we have not begun any investigation. I doubt there's anything we can do. However, the Central Bank of Austria says, and I want to know how you guys feel about this, that they will replace all of the cash and give it to the woman's children.
No way.
That if the heirs odd. Can only find shreds of money and if the origin of the money is assured, then of course it can be replaced. If we didn't pay out the money, then we would be punishing the wrong people, the bank says.
Well,
so in other words, all they need to do, all the kids need to do essentially is get a bank statement and say, all right, it says here that she had $1 million.
I pictured myself like with a giant jigsaw puzzle just trying to put the little pieces together and tape.
I don't know how it works. If there isn't a will, does it automatically go to the children? Because if she didn't say it's going to them, how are they able to get it?
I think if there's not a will, it does automatically
probably,
go to your,
really?
Kin, to your heirs. Yeah.
Oof. But if she really didn't want them to have it, why wouldn't she have in a will that says, I don't want it to go to them?
Another great question, not answered to the article. Yes. Mm. Why didn't she give it to charity? I guess the reason she didn't give it to charity, she thought, perhaps, I'm guessing now, maybe she thought this would be more impactful to show how furious she was with these kids.
Yeah, she hated her kids.
Wow. She hated them. Yeah.
Man.
I don't want you to have a penny.
That's a lot
of
anger.
How about them going from grandma did what to... Screw you, Grandma. I'm still getting the money.
Yeah, there's a lot in this story I don't like. A lot.
So anyway, if there's any update, I'll let you know.
Wow.
But how about that? How about cutting up all your money before you die, huh?
That's terrible.
It's like putting a fork in meatloaf and leaving it in a sink.
With a bite taken out of it. That's the worst thing you could do. That's worse probably than
the
money.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'll tell you what I know. I know that, in fact, too many kids that begin with pot end up with heroin, then on to LSD. I know that if you drink, you suffer a loss of judgment, if you drink to excess. But I also know that judgment returns when you sober up. I know, and so do you, when you flip out on an acid trip, you never know when you're going to slip out again. This is now, Bentley, not a couple of years ago. We've had time now to see and study the effects of LSD. People who haven't had a dose in weeks sail out on another trip. They never know when. The minute they drop one acid capsule or ingest it in any way, they bought the farm. They've lost any chance to depend on and even restore that most precious of all inner senses, judgment. And in my way of thinking, without judgment, you might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
We were talking about marijuana.
We still are. Marijuana is the flame. Heroin is the fuse. LSD is the bomb. So don't you try to equate liquor with marijuana, mister. Not with me. You may sell that jazz to another pothead, but not to somebody who spends most of their time holding some sick kid's head while he vomits and retches sitting on a curbstone at 4 o'clock in the morning. Holy and when his knees get enough starch back in him so he can stand up and empty his pockets, you can bet he'll turn out a stick or two of marijuana. And you can double your money. He'll be holding a sugar cube or a cap or two. So don't you con me with your mind expansion slop. I deal with kids every day. I try to clean up the mess that people like you make out of them. I'm the expert here. You're not.
Yay! Have a great Friday, everybody. Wow. The show's over.
Wow. Wow. We'll take a break and come back. Where are we? I forgot.
I don't know.
Oh, talking about today's show.
Wait, but what was that from? That's phenomenal.
That is pretty good.
That's Dragnet. Phoebe's Dragnet, of course.
Right.
Bean loves him some Dragnet.
I wasn't aware.
Yeah. Today on the program, we're going to talk about beekeeping.
Finally.
Now, I know that might sound like it won't go well, but have confidence. It's not going to go well.
It's time we do something for the bees.
That's what I meant. It's time we do something for the bees. Also on the program today, it's Friday, so we have the Movie Beat. It's Friday, so we have R.J. Bell with his NFL picks. We have a major announcement
at
7:30 this morning. We have Travis Pastrana in studio. How about that?
Fresh Love off Travis. His races with Chip and Beer Mug.
Chip totally destroyed him last
night. Smoked
him. Is that right? Did you destroy him? Or
Other way around.
Oh, you were last. My bad. So that's coming up today. We also are going to talk to Evander Holyfield on the program today. How about that?
Huh.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Hey.
Sorry.
A little respect. How about that? For the musicians. God damn it.
Who was that, Ralph?
That was the band. Snowplow.
With their song.
New hit from Snowplow. with their song, Freeze Zone.
What?
It's catching.
Freeze Zone.
Oh.
The Freeze Zone.
Come on,
cold
Pete.
You don't know the music?
It's cold out there.
I don't know Snowplow, I guess.
The hell?
It's cold out there. I hit one of the bums in the driveway and they just shattered. That's how cold it is. Just broke into pieces. It was nuts. Southern California, where you just pull into your parking lot and avoid the bums sleeping in your driveway.
Well, I missed them.
The people before me and then after me saw the bum in the driveway. I didn't. Is that bad?
That does not surprise me at all.
No, that's really amazing. I'm not asking if that surprises
human
you.
Human beings lying in the driveway.
Two of them?
Yeah. And you're like, there are people sleeping in driveway? I just know I have candy bar in my pants. How did you not see two human beings sleeping in the driveway to get into the station here?
They weren't there.
Yes.
They probably went to get some food and then came back.
They were
back.
There for everybody before you and after
you. Right,
after
yeah. You? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
That is probably true. quick question. Speaking of music, are we playing the new Coldplay song next?
We are.
All right. If you haven't heard it, stick around. Coming up on K-Rock. Wraps here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Coldplay, right? How appropriate. Because of the weather.
Right.
It was cold this morning.
And he shattered a bum.
I shattered a bum. It was bum-shatteringly cold this morning. That's my new catch-all for when something's really cold. It's cold enough to shatter a bum out there. The wind chill factor and whatnot. Let's talk showbiz. What do you say?
We're in.
All right, then. I thought this was interesting. You know, we always mock the people who go on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out they make a small fortune on that show. Now, admittedly, often your toenails fall off and need to be super glued back on. But other than that, you can make some coin dancing.
I didn't realize that show. I did realize when Psycho Mike was doing it how much work it was, though. And that was a tremendous amount of work.
Bindi Irwin, for example. She's making a pretty good living over there on Dancing with the Stars. She earned $125,000 just for showing up.
Wow.
That's your base salary if you agree to do the show.
Wow.
Then you get raises weekly, incrementally, as you move forward in the competition. She's now up to well over $230,000.
A week.
Kidding.
No, I believe en toto. She'll reportedly take home another $50,000 a week. For the final 2 weeks, if she makes it to the end.
Wow.
So.
Who knew?
By the time it's all said and done, it could be close to $500,000.
That's not bad.
She's only 17 years old, however. So she had to file documents with the Los Angeles Superior Court judge. Her mom, Terry, had to submit a contract saying she was giving up all rights to the money her daughter earns in the competition because she's a minor.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they also said, what about her dad? And they said, well, her dad's not really with us anymore. And the court said, we need proof of that.
What?
What do you want me to do? Drag a stingray into the courtroom, Your Honor? It's Steve Irwin. Did you read the news? Open up a blog, Your Honor. So now they have to present documentation that Steve Irwin is no longer with us.
Wow.
Sort of puts a damper on her enthusiasm, I imagine.
Ben Irwin then cut up all the money and left it on. Oh, I don't understand that at all. It's very weird.
I don't know that I've ever watched the news.
Because you're a kid?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Interesting casting news over there on The New Girl. This is kind of cool. Peter Gallagher has signed on to play Schmidt's never-before-seen father in the upcoming fifth season of the show, which will debut in January.
That's great casting.
It is great casting. He's terrific.
He's terrific.
He's terrific. And here's the cool, here's the twist, here's the thing that makes it quite interesting.
Yes.
Max Greenfield, who of course plays Schmidt on The New Girl,
right,
in flashback, played a young Peter Gallagher on The OC.
No way.
Put that in your brain.
Whoa. There's not room for
that. Put that in your brain like a tapeworm. Then what happens?
I'm completely stunned by this information.
Isn't that cool? Time folding in on itself.
Yeah.
They've both got great eyebrows.
Yes, they do.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I love that Peter Gallagher. I like him in everything he does.
I agree. Same. Very talented guy.
But let's talk about the eyebrows some more.
They're magical.
Director Ridley Scott, man behind the cameras of The Martian, of course, and many other wildly successful films, picked up his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday. To help him celebrate, Jamin Huntsu was there, Eli Roth, Kristen Wiig, Jerry Bruckheimer, Salma Hayek, and Russell Crowe.
Wow.
Huh.
Who gave a speech for the dedication, saying, when you mention his name, the birth scene in Alien, the streetscapes of Blade Runner, Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon going off over a cliff in a car, the images he's created, the adventures he's taken the audience on, have been just amazing. This honor, well, frankly, it's just about time, isn't it? Russell Crowe said. And he added, I can't believe Snoopy got this effing honor just days ago, he added in his speech.
I didn't hear that part.
Which is so freaking true.
Did he say
Ridley
that?
Ridley Scott, same level as Snoopy. Let's give them both the same honor. Freaking Snoopy.
Right, but I'm saying, was that last part
that
of the speech?
That was Russell Crowe said it.
Ridley Scott hasn't been around nearly as long as Snoopy or provided entertainment for nearly as many people, but I guess he deserves to have a star as well.
Right. Snoopy has provided a ton of entertainment.
Thank you, Ralph.
Oh, finally, no, wait a minute. Around. No, he hasn't, because he doesn't exist.
He exists?
No.
Snoopy?
No, he's a fictional character. You know who accepted the award? A sweaty guy in a suit. It wasn't Snoopy.
How dare you speak of Paul Feig that way? That
was
horrible.
Not Paul Feig. It was a guy in the... It was some reject from Knott's Berry Farm down there who just sweating it out inside the freaking suit. Get me started.
Love Snoopy.
And it wouldn't be appropriate without a tip of the cap to a friend of mine who had a great life, but sadly passed away in his sleep yesterday morning. The legendary car customizer George Barris passed away at the age of 89 this week. He did some of the coolest customizations and custom cars for show business, everything from the Beverly Hillbillies truck, the late versions of Kit and Knight Rider, the Munsters car, the General Lee, and most importantly, of course, the Batmobile from the 1960s TV series Batman with Adam West and Burt Ward, created the most famous car in television history. George Barris was a sweet, sweet man. I had a chance to hang out with him on many occasions, and he was a very nice guy and lived his life just the way he wanted to, had a good time, so... We say goodbye to him at the age of 89.
Did you ever tell him that you showed up at your wedding in the Batmobile?
I did tell him.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah.
Was he like, odd choice?
No, he said, that's great. Nobody loved the Batmobile more than George did. And boy, he sold it just at the right time. Sold it a couple years ago for $4.6 million. So he was able to cash in on that legendary creation.
And where are you keeping it?
I wish. No. It's up for sale again. The guy who bought it now is selling it for $5 million at auction in the next couple of weeks.
Where are you going to keep it?
Well, I meant to ask you. Can I look in your cargo shorts to see if besides the baby Ruths, maybe there might be a couple of mils stuffed in there? I'm guessing you probably have that just in singles in one of the pockets of your cargo shorts.
I don't think so, but I'll
probably
check.
$3.5 million in singles, you. I'm guessing.
I don't think so.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Emma Stone's 27, Lamar Odom's 36, Taryn Manning, 37 as well. Thandie Newton is 43, as is Rebecca Romijn. Ethan Hawke's 45, Maria Shriver.
My ex-wife, Maria Shriver. Incredible. She has, you know, when I was didn't have weights to lift, I would just lift her chin.
Oh.
She's 60 years old today. Glenn Frey, you're right, my bad.
We say Ralph, that was Arnold.
She
doesn't have a big chin. You're right. I don't know what I was thinking. What's wrong with me? Woo, I'm taking goofballs today. Glenn Frey is 67 years old today. And actress Sally Field turns 69. Yeah. Really, really like her.
Oh, God, Ralph.
Oh, Carmen, I want the showbiz beat.
We're going to get to RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas a little bit early compared to most Fridays. Usually we hit him just after 7 o'clock, but Travis Pastrana is going to be here, so we'll get RJ in about 10 minutes or so for your NFL Week 9 pick. Still to come on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of Friday, Ralph is here. Time for the movie beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Something for everybody this weekend. From the good movies to the Peanuts movie. They've got everything, something for everyone.
So good to great?
Right.
Right.
It's great being Spectre. But let's start with something in limited release. This is from director Catherine Hardwicke. It is the story of two lifelong girlfriends whose relationship is put to the test when one starts a family and the other one falls ill. Their lives take very different paths, and yet the love shines through. And I get it. Miss You Already is the name of the film. Drew Barrymore, Toni Collette, Dominic Cooper, Patty Considine, all star in this film. Here's a scene where Drew Barrymore is trying to deal with sorting things out with a friend who has cancer.
She wouldn't talk to me. Everything I do is wrong.
Well, that's just the way she is.
Perhaps she's punishing me. Not being the kind of mother she needed. I wasn't really there, was I? Lying around the world, never at home. Two husbands, different boyfriends. Selfish.
I can't have any drama in my life right now. And Millie is drama.
Please, Jess. Help her to sort everything out. I know she's drama, but she's not many.
You are all going to die tonight.
I don't think it's a horror movie.
This is a matinee. This is something you want to see.
You want to come out with the sun up?
Come out of the theater when the sun is still shining. Trumbo, also in limited release. This looks awesome. One of my favorite subject matters is covered in Trumbo, the story of the blacklist in Hollywood in the 50s. A horrific time of fascism amongst the arts. This was back in the day in the late 40s and early 50s where there was the witch hunts for the communists.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Tail Gunner Joe, they're looking for commies everywhere and found him in the movie industry. A lot of people's careers got wrecked, including legendary screenwriter Dalton Trumbo, one of Hollywood's top screenwriters, until he was blacklisted for his alleged political beliefs. Bryan Cranston stars as Trumbo in this film. Diane Lane, Helen Mirren, Louis C.K., all starring a film directed by Jay Roach. Here are some clips from the trailer of Trumbo.
Your next deal is going to make you the highest paid writer in Hollywood.
Where do I sign?
Are you not, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
Many questions can be answered yes or no only by a moron.
Congress has no right to investigate what we think or how we make movies.
I'll write you a movie.
And you don't want your name on it?
No, you don't want my name on it.
The blacklist is alive and well.
You don't end something like this by giving them what they have no right to ask.
Looks cool.
I've been watching Blacklist. I've not seen that.
Oh, Gilligan.
I've been watching The Blacklist.
Bryan Cranston's just so good. So good. Spotlight also opens up this weekend in limited release. Mark Ruffalo.
Wow, what a weekend, Ralph.
Oh!
I'm just saying. Spotlight 2?
You're so excited for somebody who's not going to go to any movie.
I have so many movies that are great that
nobody
I'm not going to see this weekend.
More excited about movies that he's never going to go to a theater to check out.
But this spotlight makes me want to go so
bad. Right, but you're
not
going
to. Makes you want to go, but you're not going to. Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, and Liev Schreiber all star in the true story about how the Boston Globe uncovered the massive scandal of child molestation within the Catholic Church. There was a cover-up within the local Catholic Archdiocese there in Boston, and they found that it spread out to the entire Catholic Church, shaking the organization to its very core. Ruffalo, Keaton, Liev Schreiber, come on now.
Yeah, that's pretty
right?
strong. Pretty strong.
Here's a scene where Mark Ruffalo, who plays a reporter for the Boston Globe, is speaking to Liev Schreiber, discussing the secrets inside the Catholic Church.
Are you telling me that if we run a story with 50 pedophile priests in Boston...
Mike. We'll get into the same catfight you got into on Porter, which made a lot of noise, but changed things not one bit. We need to focus on the institution, not the individual priests. Practice and policy. Show me the church manipulated the system so that these guys wouldn't have to face charges. Show me they put those same priests back into parishes time and time again. Show me this was systemic, that it came from the top down.
Sounds like we're going after law.
Oof. Come on. Liev right. Schreiber now contractually can only do roles where he's got a Boston accent. Did you know that?
And plays a Catholic.
Yeah.
Nice. Who's molested.
Yeah.
Right. Don't you just wish this movie didn't take place in Boston? Isn't that the only thing really ruining it?
Well, I think you would look at it as...
It does put some stank on it.
Yeah. Can they get a Boston free edition? Is there a DVD bonus that we can get where just Boston is deleted from this?
I feel like you'd look at it as Boston. Ugh, all those molesting priests. It
started
there.
Well, I mean, if it was going to happen anywhere, it was makes
right.
sense
That's
that it
what
was
I'm
Boston.
Saying.
Because
sure.
of all the creeps.
Right?
That's what I thought you'd
right.
say.
Mm-hmm. And the Peanuts movie comes out today. In theaters.
The Peanuts movie?
Yes.
Do we have a clip of that? Because
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it was lost. I think it was lost in the fire. Didn't we lose that?
We
in
didn't
fire?
Have a fire.
We didn't.
No, there was no fire.
You didn't remember the big clip fire?
It's lost now.
Thank you, Chip
took care of that. She's good that way.
Bonus for Chip.
Wow.
And Spectre opens this weekend.
That's what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's what I'm talking
that
about.
That is also
no,
what I'm
That's
talking
what
about.
I'm talking. You're
I'm
not talking,
talking
about that
it.
As
I'm
well.
I'm talking about it.
Right?
Hey, guys, can I talk about it too?
No.
Daniel Craig returns as James Bond 007, licensed to kill, on the trail of a sinister organization that seems to have snaked its way throughout Bond's life. That organization is called Spectre. Meanwhile, M, Bond's boss, is trying to battle the political forces to keep the Secret Service alive. Bond is trying to find out who is the man in charge of Spectre and why he seems to take such a personal interest. Christoph Waltz is the evil head of Spectre. Daniel Craig is James Bond in this confrontation where S is going down.
Information is all. Is it not? For example, you must know by now that the 00 program is officially dead. Which leads me to speculate exactly why you came.
So, James, why did you come?
I came here to kill you.
And I thought you came here to die.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective.
Yeah, it is! Go, James! Go, James!
Oh, my God. Wow.
All that was missing was it's your birthday.
I could not be more excited
yeah, it looks great.
Than I am for Spectre. Unlike being, I will actually go to see this film.
Wait, in a theater?
I will leave my home.
What?
And travel to a place where people congregate to watch motion pictures in groups.
What?
I'm going to get a big old ass tub of popcorn. I'm going to get me a Kevin-sized soda. And I'm going to kick back and just undo my pants.
Oh. I don't know that we need
Why
that kind
that
of info.
Necessary?
That's how I watch Daniel Craig.
Oh. See what you've done now?
What?
Oh, yeah, it's her.
Oh, yeah.
You've
ruined it. Really?
You've ruined
really?
My special moment. Oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
One of our favorite segments of the whole week here on the Kevin Bean Show is Friday mornings when we go out to Las Vegas live to pregame.com's RJ Bell. Let's hear a little theme song, shall we?
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Pregame.com is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. RJ really hooked up the Kevin Bean listeners last week with a 3-0 week. Feels like it should, right, RJ?
100%.
That's my motivation. I want to hear that theme. We've had 3-0s in 8 weeks. I mean, listen, we've been saying it for 2 years. It's hard to win at this rate, but there's something about the motivation of the huge listenership. I'm putting the extra time in. Great results.
Well, I'm happy for you. Happy for our listeners who are every week they let us know that they're making money off of you. You are 15-9 for the year at 63%. Hey, before we get into this week's picks, RJ, how unusual is it to still have four undefeated teams in the NFL going into Week 9?
Yeah, it's historic. I mean, and again, when it's not ATS against the spread records, I'm not like an authority like Elias or whatever, but you just keep hearing the stories about how unusual this is. I think it's an opportunity. Whenever the public, the average recreational bettor only sees things in broad strokes, things like undefeated or no wins or, you know, winning the division, all these broad strokes, and thus it causes them to have an emotional reaction. And as we talk about every week, in the NFL, the number one tip is be a contrarian. Go against what the public's doing. You know the public is going to be backing undefeated teams, so each week you should look to go against them. And as a good professional segue here, our underdog special is bucking one of the undefeated teams.
Yeah, this is insane.
No kidding. Let's talk about that. So you are picking the Redskins over the Patriots before people panic with 14 points, though.
Exactly. And listen, here's a great macro tip for the – because what I'm getting a lot of feedback on Twitter from your listeners is people starting to kind of think differently about how they handicap. And really, that's the best thing we can do. And here's a great macro tip. The more difficult it is to make a bet – the better the bet is in the NFL, because that means more people are doing the easy thing. Obviously, it's easy to bet New England. In this case, it's painful to bet Washington. It means it's right. And if you actually look at the NFL, there's no motivation for these teams to blow out another team. You might say, oh, no. Brady, Belichick, they're different. That's not going to apply to them. Well, check this out. Patriots have been unbelievably good for years at home during the regular season. But check this out. When they're not a double-digit favorite, so New England at home in any situation except being a double-digit favorite, 28-8 against the spread. When they are a double-digit favorite, 5-12 against the spread. Wow. We've got Washington, a team that's underrated because they've had multiple injuries that really hindered them the last few weeks. Those guys, or most of them, are coming back this week. But the public's not talking about that. They're talking about the Patriots undefeated. Are they going to win the Super Bowl again? That's why the value, underdog special, Washington plus 14.
I love the fact that Washington is probably in the best shape they've been all season long. Like, they're finally putting the greatest team they can on the field, and they still need 14.
But you make a good point. This might be their peak performance, the best week of the year for them, but no one's talking about it.
All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's been very sad for the few Tampa Bay fans that are out there. They've had a rough, rough year. The Giants are 4-4 and leading their division. This is your best bet. How come, RJ?
Tampa Bay, the underdog, it's exactly what you said. The public sees broad strokes, and what they've seen is the Giants have a decent record, leading their division. The trick is finding when those broad strokes are deceiving. And in this case, for the Giants, it's one of the more deceiving teams I've seen in years. That means we have an opportunity to fade them here. Now, there's a stat that's very important, yardage differential. This is not technical. How many yards has the Giants gained this year, the whole season? How many yards have their opponents gained? That is an extremely telling stat. The scoreboard can be deceiving. That stat, it's hard to be deceiving. On the year, the Giants have been outgained by their opponents by 600 yards. That's the second worst in the NFL when it comes to yardage for the Giants. By the way, Tampa Bay, they've actually outgained their opponents this year. A lot of people don't know that. So how are the Giants winning? turnovers. The Giants are plus 10 in turnover margin. That means how many turnovers they've gotten versus how many they've given up. Plus 10 is number one in the NFL. Nothing is more telling about who's going to win a game than turnovers. If you tell me who wins the turnover battle in an NFL game, the spread winner 77% of the time wins the turnover battle. So it's so important. But it's a lot of luck. It's not like, oh, the Giants are good at turnovers. No. If you actually look at the stats, turnovers are mostly about luck in the long term. And that's why the Giants are probably the most overrated team in the NFL. We're going to take, as our best bet, Tampa plus 2.5.
All right. Last pick from RJ Bell in Las Vegas is the big game. Speaking of turnovers, hasn't Matt Castle had a problem with that with the Cowboys? You've got him against the Eagles this weekend.
Yeah, listen, Castle's not a starter-level quarterback, but he's better than Brandon Whedon. And the guys that I talk to, they really like the fact the Cowboys seem to be able to run the whole playbook with him as opposed to Whedon. They were really limiting him. Another example here with Philadelphia, and remember, our pick is Dallas, is Philadelphia's gotten a lot of attention because of Chip Kelly. But it's been hit or miss, obviously. But here's an interesting thing. The more familiar a team is to Chip Kelly's offense, the better they do against that offense. That's a very important stat. And if you think about it, Dallas is in division against Philly. That means they play him twice every year now. So this is, you know, the third year to do that. And it's already in week 9, the second time this season they're playing Philadelphia. So that being familiar, Dallas, with Philly is a huge advantage. And there's one other thing here. When you have these interdivision rivalries, they're often very hard-fought, tight games because they know each other so well. If you look at Philadelphia versus Dallas, if all you had done is just take the underdog every time, say, forget RJ Bell, I'm just taking the points no matter what. In this series, 26-8. Against the spread. I'll say that one more time. Philly, Dallas, take the underdog, 26-8 against the spread. So remember, though, one last little lesson here. 3 is the most key number in the NFL. More games end 3 than any other. You can get Dallas plus 3. You've got to get the plus 3 if you want to bet this. Not 2.5. Big game pick, Dallas plus 3.
RJ Bell was 3-0 here on the Kevin and Bean Show last week. Take that information and use it this weekend.
100%!
For week 9, once again, recapping the underdog special, Washington Redskins plus 14 versus Allie's New England Patriots. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 2.5 versus the Giants. And as you just mentioned, the Cowboys plus 3 versus the Eagles. Get all the details on these and so much more at pregame.com. Follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Friday.
Thank you.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
IRQ.
one 800 520 1067 is the number for a pair of one-day tickets to... All right, listen, that's not going to work. Start that again. All right, I started talking without my mic on. It's not that big a deal.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Hall of Mother Effin' Fame, you guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What about our friend Travis Pastrana, who is in the next room waiting to join us just after 7 o'clock this morning? The Nitro Circus is in town at Staples and Honda. We'll catch up with Travis coming up. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat now on a Friday.
Tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I bring Hollywood Babylon back to Hollywood. We were down in Orange County last week, but now we're going to give you all of our sweet, sweet Babylon love at the Improv on Melrose tonight at 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com to get all your details and your tickets. We'd love to see you. Come out and see us. Boy, it's going to be a Bieber-heavy show tonight, that's for
all
sure.
Right.
A lot of stuff to talk about with Bieber, including the fact that he and Kevin have a lot in common.
How dare you?
Well, it's true. It's true. He also hates Bette Midler.
Oh, well, that's all right thinking Americans.
Just like you, Kevin. He especially hates her because you remember when Bieber's pictures of his manhood while he was nude on vacation saw the light of day on the internet and they kind of circulated. Everybody was talking about
penis.
Right, exactly. Bette Midler tweeted, "The biggest D in this situation is the dad who abandoned his son, talking about Bieber's father, which is a very funny comment.
It's pretty well done.
And the father was the one who said, yeah, I'm proud of my son. Remember, he made all
kinds of crazy. What are you feeding that?
Proud daddy. It's evil on every level.
It was gross.
So Bieber, much like Kevin, dislikes Bettman Lear, but also is confused and doesn't really know who she is. He told Billboard magazine, this Brit Medler.
Wow.
I don't even know who that is, honestly. I wanted to say immediately, who is this lady? But then I'm just fueling the negativity. I do feel the photo was an invasion of my privacy. I felt super violated. My dad made light of it, but I don't think that's sick and twisted. It was funny. Dads are going to be dads. You know when your dad talks about your wang? You know, Kevin, you know what it's like.
I don't know
growing
that.
Growing up in Arizona, your dad probably took you out in the desert.
Never
and
happened.
Said, what do you feed that wang, son? Nope.
It's never happened.
Came up.
I think it's never happened to me or anyone else except for Bieber.
Oh, that's true. My father's never once commented on my wang.
Bean?
No, never. And by the way,
Allie?
Twice.
Twice that happened? Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't blame a young person for not knowing who an old person is, because why would Justin Bieber know who Bette Midler is? But, I mean, she's had a show business career for 50 years.
She exists in the world.
Right, exactly.
He's in the music industry.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty funny, actually.
See? I told you. A lot alike. Hey, congratulations to Twister, the Super Soaker, and the Puppet.
Are these your Rudy's friends? Is that who they are? I'm confused.
Orle, Twister, Super Soaker, Little Puppet. No, Kevin, they've all made it into the National Toy Hall of Fame this year.
All right.
Okay. Right?
Hall I think they're all deserving.
Just Puppet in general?
I can't believe the Puppet didn't get in earlier. How does a puppet get in the same year as Super Soaker,
right?
Which was made like 8 months ago, and the puppet's been around since the Stone Age.
Puppet's been working its puppet ass off for a long time.
The Magnon men used to grab a rock and draw a face on it and go, ooh, 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 and put on rock puppet shows. How's it just getting into the Hall of Fame?
What does a toy have to do?
Holy crap.
It does feel like the inaugural class should have included a few things like the wheel, you know, or a ball and a puppet.
Yeah. You wait till you hear who got ignored this year.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
The spinning top. No, thank you. Haven't been around long enough, spinning top. Better luck next year.
It might not stick.
The coloring book.
Come on.
What? The wiffle ball.
Come on.
The scooter.
Just stop.
Wow. Would you love to be in the boardroom to hear these arguments?
Jenga.
Come on, Jenga, people.
Battleship.
Oh, someone sold my battleship. That one?
No, no, so, the other battleship game.
Okay, well, then it shouldn't be in. Too much confusion.
American Girl dolls. Well, I can see that. They blow. But anyway, Super Soaker, Twister, and Puppet. Which, by the way, the three of those together, that's a great Saturday night. Get your Super Soaker out. Fill it with baby oil. Get out there, get the Twister mat out.
Mm-hmm.
Strip down. Puppet. That's all I'm saying. I won't tell you where I put the puppet.
Okay, good.
I think we know.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Nothing. Don't mind me.
All right. Beer mug just came in.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm out of time already. Look at that. How time flies when you're talking about puppets, huh?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is actress Emma Stone. Celebrates her 27th birthday today. I'm torn because, you know, she's single again.
Yeah.
Doesn't spell good things for my marriage, I think.
Is she going to come after you again like she has
yes,
in the past?
Right. Oh. At least when Garfield was around, you know, I was giving him a little bit of a respite. But now, ugh. If I have to look over in my bushes and see that ginger hair one more time, there's going to have to be... I might have to get a hold of the authorities. 27 years old today, Emma is. Lamar Odom's 36. Taryn Manning is 37 years old. Thandie Newton is 43, as is Rebecca Romaine. Ethan Hawke. What a great name that is, by the way.
That's
Ethan
pretty good.
Ethan Hawke. You should be a secret agent with that name. 45 years old. Maria Shriver is 60. Eagles guitarist Glenn Frey is 67 years old today. Ask Bean how his health is.
In an email or some other.
He'll sit you down for a while. You'll get all the details.
Right.
And Sally Field. Oscar winner, 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is a brand new song from Coldplay on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ called Adventure of a Lifetime. Let's do this.
My name's Travis Pastrana, and I calculate risk for a living.
Travis Pastrana, who admits he has the willingness and stupidity to try anything on a motorcycle. Pastrana flipping out of the gate. Oh, look at him. He's just showing the crowd. Superman Seagram.
Travis Pastrana on the Suzuki 125. A double backflip from Travis Pastrana.
Travis Pastrana, moments away from flying a car.
Travis Pastrana, your gold medalist once again here.
Holy, that was a hell of a ride.
Right? Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus is in town. It is the biggest and most successful live-action sports show of all time. It is tonight at Staples Center and tomorrow night at Honda Center. Please welcome Mr. Pastrana back to the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Travis.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. Appreciate that intro, man.
Of course. Takes you back, right?
Man.
Do you have people come up to you and say, hey, I remember when you did this, and you go, yeah, I don't really remember.
A lot, but it's funny because, I've been such a fan of the sport and motocross, and I did the same thing to Matt Hoffman. I was, hey, remember when? He's like, yeah, no. But, you know, it happens.
So, Travis, what did you do to our team last night? You had Beer Mug and Chip out with you. What was going on?
Well, it was good. Beer Mug was actually, him and Street Bike Tommy were just plowing over everyone. But Chip, I mean, I was really surprised. Her right foot's it's pretty light on the gas pedal, but well, she was out there. It was good.
If I could just fill in the blanks there, she can't reach the gas pedal.
Oh.
Yeah. She did have a booster seat, which I understand because I've had to have the booster seat there. So it's an unfair advantage. But she held her own.
No, she actually, I was really impressed.
I heard that you could walk as fast as she was going.
No, she did good. But it was really cool because, it was all for our buddy Eric Rohner, mm-hmm. passed away earlier this year. And we were able to get a lot of people came out from all over to show their support. And his wife and his two kids were there racing go-karts around. So it was a pretty cool day. So I just really appreciate the support from everyone around here and from you guys coming out and checking out that event.
What's it like for you, who has been in so many life or death situations behind the wheel of a rally car, for instance, to go out and just go kart for fun? I mean, are you able to? Is it fun for you, or is it just so easy that you can't get into it?
No, it's awesome. It's actually really cool because whenever we're going to come somewhere, especially Nitro Circus, we've got a lot of the guys that are racing. I mean, Bilko just went and ran the GRC, in Vegas 2 days ago, Global Rallycross. So we got a lot of good racers on there. We're always competing. Actually, I won $400 on basically. On dollar bets yesterday, so it was a good, good day.
Do you guys all try and take each other out? I mean, does it get a little serious?
Well, it gets super serious. Yeah. No, I was 3/1000ths faster than Bilko. We were about a quarter tenth off of the track record there, but everybody, there was about 15 of us that were going for that. We stayed up till it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock before they were like, we got to shut this place down. We're like, no, we want to keep racing.
Hey guys, so. Travis Pastrana is just like us. He's stoked over $400.
That's awesome.
Well, let's talk about the Nitro Circus. How long's the tour been? How many years have you done the Nitro Circus Live?
Nitro Circus Live, it's really funny because it started out, we're preparing for X Games and stuff, which you guys are familiar with all in this area. I had the first phone pitch.
Used to be.
Well, yeah. This feels like the home to X Games anyway. But, yeah. So
you're the first phone pit.
Right, first foam pit. And everybody was basically going out and trying new stuff in the foam pit. So we started filming it, and then Johnny Knoxville saw it. It's like, oh, dude, we got to put this on MTV. And it kind of got this really good following. And all of a sudden, we got called up by a guy that was over in Australia. He said, look, I'm a promoter, and we want to do a live show. And we thought about it for a couple years. We're like, well, I don't know if it's really going to work, but if he's going to fly all of us over to go over to Australia for a couple months, like, we'll do it. And then we sold out almost every venue there, and since then. So it's been pretty epic ride, to be honest. Our hobby really became our job.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and the fact that people can see these things live and in person up close, a lot of things that have never been in competition before, right? It's completely different from competition.
Well, the beauty is in competition, you have set ramps, set rules. For us, we don't have any rules with the motorcycles, the bicycles, how many people are on a bicycle. We pull people from the stands, very interactive, kind of like a rock show the whole time. Don't volunteer. I would recommend that's a bad idea.
We're looking for a volunteer to get on the back of a bike?
Yeah, actually a couple of them. They do back. mess with them. It's gone bad a couple times. But anyway, you know, and then we have everything
in your life has gone bad a couple of times.
Yeah, we overestimate our abilities. but the beauty of this thing is we can have the safety, honestly, is something that we take a lot of pride in. And, you know, the ramps, they're not solid landings. They have airbag over. I mean, it hurts. Don't get me wrong. It sucks when you crash. But for the most part, you can crash one night and try it again the next night. So on this tour alone, since starting in D.C., the North America tour a month ago, we've had 6 world firsts. So 6 tricks that have never been done ever on Earth.
In a month.
In 1 month. And this is the progression that needs to happen at Action Sports.
What are they?
Well, most of them are done by R. Willie on scooters and bicycles. We had the only one that was on a motorcycle was basically Clinton Moore took off and did what they call he's basically a special flip. He takes off, he goes off, flips his body over the motorcycle, uh-huh. grabs back, so he does a backflip while the motorcycle goes straight, uh-huh. but instead of grabbing back on, he hooked the handlebars with his feet because that's the only thing that was around,
right.
and he pulled himself back on without ever touching the bars.
Did he do that on purpose?
I don't think so, but he claimed it on purpose, and he landed it, and he's done it twice since, so we'll take it.
Here's my question. If you're the first one to ever do something, then is it your right to name it?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you go about that? After it happens, do you just stop everything and you're like, that's a trick, Willie Franklin?
Well, actually, it's funny because the one guy's name is R. Willie, and he named his one trick the Silly Willie, which I thought was kind of silly
so
name for a trick.
Not the dumbest thing I could have said.
Well,
Kevin.
Close though.
Okay.
No, most of the tricks are pretty dumb name. I mean, you have a lot of stuff that should probably never be out there.
Oh, look, you're goofy. You're having fun.
Yes, I mean, right. that's
the fun of it, yeah.
But, I mean, when you're like, oh, I did a backflip stripper, everyone's like, what? Like, no, a stripper's a trick.
We are talking about the Nitro Circus in Southern California this weekend, tonight at Staples Center, tomorrow night at Honda Center. Tickets are available, by the way, starting at just $39. There's also the Nitro Club VIP passes that includes the best seats in the house. They get to hang out with you and other stars of the show as well, Travis, as part of the VIP, right?
Yeah, VIP is pretty cool because you get to come out a little bit early, get to see a little bit of kind of the behind the scenes, and then all the top guys will come out. I mean, we've got on tour, Josh Sheehan's just landed a triple flip on a motorcycle, so he'll be out there, he'll talk to the fans, and then you have Jed Milton was the only one to land. There's only 2 people in the world that have ever triple flipped a uh-huh. bicycle. You'll see they'll both be there. One's triple flipping in the show, but one of them did a quadruple backflip. He went 6 stories in the air on a 20-inch BMX bike, no suspension, and was able to ride out of it. The guy's ridiculous.
Wow.
So he just kind of talks about that. They show some video and just kind of give you a little behind the scenes on all the riders that'll be out there. So when you come, you have someone to root for. You have some fans, you have some local guys, and you get to see what's going on.
I imagine the people that come to these shows, though, are very familiar with all of you guys and all of the different tricks that you're doing and stuff, right? That's a knowledgeable audience.
Well, especially in this area, which is this is one of our shows that we really make sure that everybody, it's like if you have a trick that you want to step up, these you guys have seen X Games, you expect the best, so we have to start with X Games tricks and work up from there. We can't start if we go to we go to South Africa, they're just or New Zealand, they're excited just to see the jumps. We can start a little lower and then work up to the tricks that maybe you guys have seen, but at the end of the day, we figure 10-15% of the audience knows everything. We can't fool anyone, so we don't. Yeah, if we say it's a world first, it has to be a world first. It's not a Cirque du Soleil. It's not a build-up thing. But at the end of the day, probably 50% of the audience comes, their parents, their girlfriends, their wives, and our job is to make sure this is entertaining. So we got guys going down these huge ramps, 6 stories tall, dropping in at 40 miles an hour on couches, in coolers. We have one guy that goes down in the front. So he's going down in a wheelbarrow, and the wheelbarrow is being pushed by a guy in rollerblades. Now, this will be his first show back because he dislocated his shoulder because the rollerblader pushed him right off the landing on our second show. So
that's a rollerblader, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, the rollerblader's like, sorry, man, it was either you or me. So
I had to make a choice. That's the one I made.
That is the voice of extreme sports legend Travis Pastrana here on the Kevin Show. You can buy your tickets for the Nitro Circus at NitroCircus.com. We've got lots of questions, including about Travis's movie when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Travis Pastrana in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, co-creator of Nitro Circus, in town this weekend for Staples Center tonight, Honda Center tomorrow night. Tickets available at NitroCircus.com. I was on your website this week, Travis, and I was watching a bunch of the clips from the Action Figures movie that you did last year, and it still blows my mind, some of the stuff that you and your friends have done. And the quote from your dad about what dumbasses you and your friends are.
No, you always get the truth from my dad. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Did he ever get to the – has he ever gotten to the point – will he ever get to the point where he just accepts what you do? Or is he always being the dad and like, seriously, son, what's wrong with you?
He's always supported me. He's always helped. I mean, it's construction. So that's really what – that's all we do in action sports. We're always building ramps. We're welding. So it was awesome coming up with that, you know, welding and building and concrete and, you know, just dozers always that are available.
Everybody needs a dozer at times, right?
Well, I mean, everyone in motorcycles does. So, yes, yes. No, but it's interesting because he's always – like, he built this jump, and he didn't know what he was building. And when I was 14, it was a 210-foot jump. And, you know, he looked at it. He's like, what – did I just help you kill yourself? Like, what? I'm going to go home. I'm going home.
He built the thing before he realized what you were going to do with it?
He built the takeoff and he built the landing. He had no idea that they were supposed to be attached.
Oh, I see.
you know, you if there was something back in between. Yeah, yeah. no, but it's interesting because he's like, look, you're always going to end up working construction. He goes, as long as you, so when I was a kid, he's like, look, if you get up every day before school, you know, school starts at 7. If you're up before school and you go for a mile running, because you don't have to do a lot, just I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're tired, because you go for a mile run, you make honor roll. I'll do everything I can. Your uncles will do everything we can to pay for it. I mean, they had, you know, two mortgages down the house. My dad sold his Harley, sold his boat. He's like,
wow.
You know, he goes, but look, you're never going to make it as a motorcycle rider. You're always going to be working construction. If you want to go, you know, join the military or something beforehand, but then you're going to be coming back and working construction. And my reality has never set in. So I was, when I turned 30 2 years ago, he goes, you know, because I built a skate park when I was 30 years old. And he goes, you are still making a living on kids' toys.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but I'm not working construction yet, Dad. We're doing all right.
do you think there'll ever come a time where you will not want to be the guy out there on the bike or behind the wheel?
No, 100%. I mean, honestly, with age, get a cage. The racing's been great. I wasn't very good at NASCAR. It actually pisses me off. I'm thinking about like how I can possibly get in there and do better. Racing's always been awesome. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I was coming up. The first time I realized I was old, I was coming to this jump about 60, 65 miles an hour, 37 foot tall takeoff. You go on almost 100 feet in the air, and we're just doing to a bag landing. So, and I'm looking, I'm like, all right. And I couldn't commit to doing a triple, and I'm like, all right, one more time. I got it this time. And I thought, when that bag's gone, there's no way. It's not worth it for me right now. Like, I don't even know if I can do it, but if I could, like, I don't think I could commit anymore.
Is it worth the risk?
Right. Yeah. You know, and the risk to reward always changes. And that's when I realized, I'm like, all right, my job now is actually safety coordinator. It's trying to keep my friends and all the Nitro family as safe as possible, because these guys are going to keep progressing. And if we can help them.
What, like, a crazy world to try and keep people safe. You know,
it's actually
the nature of what you do.
No, but at the end of the day, if they can try stuff every day and progress themselves every day without getting injured, that makes the show better. And every time you see one of your friends, your family, my wife's in the show. She skates. She just learned backflips, you know, last year in between having our first and second child. I mean,
oh my God.
It's a scary thing.
Wait, did she have a choice in that?
Right.
What, the children?
No.
Wait a minute. What are we doing here?
I withdraw the question.
Travis, did you see Knoxville's Evel Knievel documentary this year?
Of course.
Does it blow your mind to see the stuff that he was doing? And he was doing it on regular full-size motorcycles that he never practiced before the jump. That was an unbelievable movie to me.
Absolutely amazing. And Knoxville does a really good job of really getting to the heart of a lot of that stuff. And it was cool because they had Matt Hoffman, who was also everyone in Action Sports is a huge Evel fan.
Right.
But Jeff Tremaine, Johnny Knoxville, and Matt Hoffman are the three biggest Evel Knievel fans. So to see them do that tribute and do it accurately.
Oh, what a beautiful movie.
Oh, it was so cool.
But the difference between Evel Knievel and what you're doing is he didn't seem to care about safety. It was almost, F it, let's try it.
Well, an interesting part was he got there and he was like, hey, look, they didn't give me the right motorcycle today. It's not going to go fast enough. We've done our test runs, but you guys all showed up, so I'm going to jump it anyway.
Right. Yeah. That last part is the part that's not right.
It's like, wait, you're not going to make it. You got to call it off, man. Yeah. Just call it off. You'll die. but he pioneered this for us.
He did.
Like, he gave us an opportunity. Now, it has changed a lot. It's become a professional sport as opposed to, we don't consider ourselves daredevils. We consider, if you're crazy now in these sports, you'll never get good enough to be the best. But at the end of the day, he opened the world up to say, this is something that can be done. You can jump a motorcycle. Yeah, our motorcycles weigh one third what his did, and we have, you know, a foot more suspension than he did.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy. NitroCircus.com, by the way, is where you're going to go get the tickets to see the events this weekend, again tonight at Staples Center, tomorrow at Honda Center. Did I hear something about Beer Mug from the Kevin and Bean Show being part of the show?
Yes.
Yeah. What's he doing?
That is a great question.
I'll tell you what he's doing. Okay. You're going to jump right over him.
Well, yeah, but we were trying to get him on the motorcycle to backflip him, but we might need Chip. He's a little bit heavy.
How big motorcycles do you have? What's the biggest?
Well, the problem is that he is extra weight on the bike. So who did the flip with him on the front, said no.
Yeah.
Which was the right choice. Was a good choice.
That's the right
choice. So now he's not going to be on the motorcycle, but you guys will be flipping over him, I understand? Maybe?
Yes. And I'm going to try to get him to actually high five maybe while they're upside down. So we got to like maybe put him up on a crew. We'll see. We're going to play it by ear.
I feel like every show for you is just play it by ear. Let's just show up and see what we can do.
Yep.
I love that Beerbug has been told once again that he's too fat for something. I just love that. That's my favorite thing about it. You know, it never occurred to me that you guys must have to pay pretty close attention to your weight when you're in this business.
Yeah, well, it's a fine line between light and durable. You can't be too light, but you can't be too durable.
Right.
Because durable people don't fly well, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, NitroCircus.com. Tickets start at just $39, but I recommend the VIP passes if you can swing it for the best seats in the house for the Travis Pastrana and the Stars of the Show meet and greet and Q&A, the special prize giveaways. It's going to be a great, great time tonight at Staples Center and then Honda Center tomorrow night. And stay alive and enjoy your holidays, Travis.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
You're the only guest that we have to wish that.
I was trying to think how long it's been that we've been having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. I've lost track of how many years you've been coming on and coming in and calling us and stuff.
Since you guys called me a sissy for the double backflip, you guys made my career because I was thinking about not double backflipping that year, and you're like, well, geez, I can double backflip. What's the problem?
There was a lot of rumors that you were going to try. It's never been done, and so we called him a pussy. We were like, come on, man. You got to step up. And then when I was there at Staples Center, I was like, oh, holy God, this is not going to go well, and I'm in some part going to be blamed.
No, it's the best career choice ever. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys making my career for me. Thank you.
We always enjoy talking to you and wish you and your whole family with the Nitro Circus the very best of luck, my friend. Thanks for coming in. Travis Pastrana, ladies and gentlemen, right there on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Appreciate it, guys.
We promised you an announcement, and I think you're going to be very excited. As you know, we world premiered a brand new Coldplay song last night and have been playing it and will be playing it every hour today. It's a great song. Coldplay's got a lot of cool stuff coming up with this new album coming out, and we have secured a private K-Rock show with the band. This is the first time you're hearing this information. It's going to be November the 13th, which, if I'm correct, Kevin, is 1 week
next
from
Friday. Yeah. That's right.
At the Belasco Theater in L.A., November 13th. You can go to krock.com for all the information about this, but we're going to be giving away tickets all weekend long and starting basically right now. All weekend long, you'll be winning tickets to this private K-Rock show with Coldplay. And I think we're going to give away the first pair right now. What are we looking for?
Well, we're going to do Hardest Game in the World. We're going to do that with Coldplay. So if you want to call now, 1-800-520-1067, we will play that game next. You'll win the first pair of tickets to see Coldplay at the Belasco. And then all week and weekend from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., you can win the tickets to this exclusive show. It's going to be very cool.
It's huge.
It's huge. Thanks, Trav.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in. Big day for Coldplay fans. We're playing their new song every hour on K-Rock today, and we're also giving away tickets to a just-announced private K-Rock show with Coldplay at the Belasco Theater. It's coming up 1 week from tonight, November the 13th, 2015. By the way, this is the only Coldplay show they're doing here, right?
Yep.
For the foreseeable future. So if you want to see them, why not see them in a nice, tight, private venue right now at a K-Rock-only show? We're giving away tickets all weekend long, but you can win the first pair now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game, I got to be honest, is not going to be easy for you to win.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
How you been? What have you been up to? We haven't talked to you in a long time.
I've been trying to stay warm. It was cold this morning. So cold that I shattered a bum.
Really? That's the thing, huh?
Yep.
All right. So we have callers on the line. They are Coldplay fans. They are pumped up and ready to win tickets to this private K-Rock Coldplay show next Friday night. How are they going to win it today, Mr. Announcer Man?
We'll be playing for you titles of Coldplay songs. All you need to do is identify the title we play. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. They'll be backwards.
Yay!
Then you'll be entered into a drawing to see Coldplay in a nice, tight venue.
Right? Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man, for picking up on that.
Mean to describe it that way, yes.
It's tight, yo.
It's tight.
Easy in a show in a tight place.
Yeah. Who is our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Will. He's from Rancho Cucamonga. He's a personal trainer. Are you with me, brother?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
We're doing well. All right, you ready for your title?
Yeah, I'm ready for this.
And play it twice. Here you go.
Lobosh.
One more time.
Lobosh.
Shiver.
Sorry, that was
Trouble. Good guess, though, Will.
Yeah, nice try. Right, a number of syllables. Will's using his hand. All right, who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Jesse from El Monte. He sells things to people.
Hi, Jesse.
Good morning, everybody.
Does that include drugs? No. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Skull.
One more time.
Skull.
That's going to be fixture.
Clocks.
Clocks. Is hard.
It's the hardest game in the world.
It's not easy.
It's not. That last one sounded like a hairball coming up. Soch. Soch.
When it's one word, man, sometimes those are the toughest ones.
Next up is Jake from Santa Carita. He processes things.
Hey, Jake.
Hi.
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 I'm really nervous.
All right. Well, no one's got it yet, so good luck.
All right.
Here's your Coldplay song.
Wally.
One more time.
Okay. Wally.
Yellow.
Yellow. Boom.
Yeah.
Nicely done. You are one step closer. You haven't won yet, but you are in the drawing, and good luck to you. Hang on.
Next up is Doug. He's from Altadena. He works for Time Warner.
Hey, Doug.
Don't hate me for that, but good morning, party people.
And he's self-aware.
All right, Doug, you ready for your song?
All right, let's do this.
Here you go.
We skiff.
One more time.
We skiff.
Ink?
Fix you. Sorry about that.
Sorry, man. I feel like we need some Jimmy Kimmel unnecessary censorship on that one. But thank you very much for the call. We appreciate you playing. All right, so far only Jake is in the drawing. Who's up next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Sue is up next from Baldwin Park. She prints things about media.
Or she's something. In print media.
Or she's in the print media.
How have you been doing, Sue, listening on hold to your fellow competitors?
I've only got one so far, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Okay. It's a hard game.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Are you ready? Here you go.
Sierra.
One more time.
Sierra.
Song, please. It's a Coldplay song, if that helps.
Song by the band Coldplay.
Title of one of their musical numbers. Coldplay joint.
One of their jams.
When they wrote a song and they said, hey, what do you want to call that? They said this word.
Chris Martin sings lead on this song.
We're going to need a guess.
A title.
A title from you, Sue.
Okay, it's going to be...
The title will be...
Green Eyes?
Paradise.
Oh, no.
Thank you for playing. I'm sorry. I feel bad. Okay. I think we got time for maybe one or two more, Mr. Announcer Man.
Do you think so?
Because it's a nice, tight venue. We're giving away tickets to the Blasco Theater.
Right.
You're just joining us next Friday night.
It's a tight venue.
Private K-Rock-only show with Coldplay. Who's up next?
Next up is Edwin. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Edwin.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready?
Yes.
Here you go.
It's it now, sub.
One more time.
It's it now, sub.
Title.
Name of a song. Beat of sound.
The Scientist.
This game is difficult.
It's so hard. The hardest game in the world.
All right. One more contestant, please.
Miguel from Santa Clarita. He adjusts your claims. Mine's hanging to the left.
God. I'm not sure that's what he adjusts,
morning,
but okay.
Guys.
Hey, Miguel. Are you ready?
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yes, I'm ready.
Here's your song. One more time.
Such full of facts.
Sky full of stars?
Yes.
Sky full of stars.
Look at that.
Done.
It's a two-horse race.
All right, we got Miguel, we got Jake. Only one can win a pair of tickets to the private K-Rock show with Coldplay next Friday night at the Belasco Theater. Details at krock.com. Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Miguel.
Miguel! Just got in.
All right.
Congratulations,
that's
Miguel.
Awesome.
Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing the game. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Poor Jake. Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51.
Hey, keep on listening for your chance to win your way into the Coldplay show at the Belasco Theater next Friday night, and also for the real deal himself, boxing legend Evander Holyfield, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show just after 8 o'clock. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
There has been a major disturbance in the force today.
Uh-oh.
Big, big news about Star Wars. Okay. And I knew it was big because my podcast wife, Kevin Smith, called me this morning and said he needed to talk about it.
Oh.
What's going on in the Star Wars universe?
Okay.
Major, major event. Okay. I think we have him on the phone. Mr. Smith?
Have you watched this Japanese trailer yet?
Yes!
Oh, my Lord. There are some shots of that trailer we haven't seen, including TIE fighters in the light of day.
Right?
In front of a sun. Looks like it's attacking that planet, Jakar. I don't know what it's called yet. But that leads to some sort of, like, a landing force of stormtroopers with flamethrowers, man!
Yeah.
White stormtroopers with fire shooting out of tanks on their backs. Why did nobody ever think of this before? J.J. Abrams is a genius!
Now, you're not just saying this because J.J.'s your friend, right, Kevin?
No, no, but he was always a genius. But this trailer, man, I love the other trailer they put out, but there's moments in this trailer that I woke up this morning, first thing I did was reach for my phone, because I was looking for a message from Ralph. There was a message from somebody being like, have you seen this yet?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the trailer, and I was crying in bed. And my wife comes over, and she's like, oh, that's funny. That's usually my role. And I said, well, first off, shut up, woman.
Yeah, you said that.
Right. Yeah. One time, any time, sure.
Macho friends out there. I did nothing. I didn't even answer. Dude, I just watched that trailer and bawled in bed.
There's
a shot of Princess Leia, who must by now be Queen Leia, for heaven's sake. I'm sitting in a control room while a Star War of some sort is going on. Instantly takes me back to her, you know, on Yavin as the rebel forces are attacking the Death Star. Like, so many touchstones to my youth. But seeing a TIE fighter in the light of day, simple things like that. That's why this movie is going to be the highest grossing film of all time and why J.J. is a genius. Simple imagery, and imagery is what's important to a movie, not people talking like my stuff. Simple imagery of a Star Destroyer marooned on a planet. Like, things like that, man. It looks like a 70s album cover. It has people buying tickets already. I cannot wait. This trailer was phenomenal.
You know what got me, Kev, was Rey walking along through the sand with BB-8 by her side.
And his voice?
Yeah.
That was the first time we've heard BB-8's voice, and I was like, oh, my God, that's him. And it's like, you know, you're talking about, this is a movie that's got a pedigree going back many years, of course, but Larry Kasdan, who wrote The Empire Strikes Back, he co-wrote this screenplay as well, man. So you're looking at elements of a movie that were written by a man who's got the talent in the 21st century, that's J.J. and stuff. We watched him reboot Star Trek to a great degree. And then you've got the talent of the man who built the original Star Wars universe. Like, it's almost like having Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of the people that wrote the original Gospels, on board. And there are shots in that trailer and moments in that trailer that call to mind Star Wars. There's a person on a desert planet who doesn't think they're part of anything big, but it turns out they're part of something much bigger, and then they're dragged into something far larger than themselves to become a hero. Like, it's all there.
I was a little surprised by Harrison Ford's character, like, having to explain to them that the stuff about the Force is real.
Oh, what I love about that especially is if you go back to the first movie, to Star Wars, he's the guy that's like, hokey religions and superstitious nonsense. Man, you got to have a blaster by your side. And 30 years later, he's like, no, it's real.
Yeah. What about Kylo Ren's lightsaber right up to Rey's face?
Which is really intense and wonderful, a great image. But at the same time, if you've been following any of the rumors on the internet, it's an even more heartbreaking image if you know their relationship and stuff, which I ain't spoiling here.
Yeah.
You got a few more months and everybody can spoil it for themselves.
Ray does say in this trailer wherever she's waiting for her family. She knows a thing or two about waiting, and she's waiting for her family.
Aren't we all? Haven't we all been waiting for our family?
Haven't we all had a lightsaber to the face?
This is the return of our family.
Amen.
Let me throw a question out here. I know some people are going to yell at me for even asking this question, but if you're not good enough friends with J.J. Abrams to see the movie early, and if you're not a big enough celebrity to see the movie early, have you considered faking cancer?
Oh, don't say
you're
that.
You're a horrible man.
Wow. What a horrible man you are. Let me tell you, though. We were just talking about
Let's move on like that didn't happen.
Well, no, let's talk about why he said it.
Let that one drop there. Yeah. We're all quietly ignoring it. No, while we have it, let's take a moment. Rather than curse the darkness that Kevin just created, let's light a candle, man. J.J. Abrams showed this terminally ill guy, Daniel dude, online, which for, you know, the last, Daniel Fleetwood, for the last few weeks, there's been this, like, force for Daniel, people trying to get this poor guy in Texas who's loved Star Wars since he was a kid, 32 years old, and he's really, really terminal. 2 months to live, cancer spread to his lungs. And so, you know, the Internet, when the Internet wants to, you know, it can be Satan and Jack the Ripper. But when it really wants to, it can also be Batman. And the Internet went to work trying to get a screening for this guy. And I forwarded an email to the people I know as well. And boom, it happened.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, could you imagine, like, someone who's like, I'm going to leave this world soon. I have no choice. I'm being taken out. But my greatest dream is to see that story. Like, I loved it. It's defined my life. And I might be able to make a good death of this if I could see it. How beautiful is that? And JJ set it up for him, man.
And you know, JJ has a history of this. He did the same thing with the most recent Star Trek movie as well. There was a Trek fan who was terminally ill and wanted to see it before he went, and JJ Abrams made that possible for him. So the guy.
So if you see a JJ Abrams movie, you will die.
No.
And before Bean says it, it's not the same guy too. So no, Bean.
Yeah. No, Bean.
Well, Kevin, I'm glad.
I can't wait, man. He's this dude's a decent human being, beyond decent. He's a really good guy, but he made a hell of a movie. I didn't see it, but I saw a bunch of it. And heavens, I here's my reaction. I was sitting somewhere watching something. I can't go into detail.
No, we'll keep it secret.
He was there, and in the middle of something that I was insanely moved by, that, you know, touches right back to my childhood, because that's what the man has made, not a movie, but a cinematic time machine. It's the field of dreams for those of us who want to go back. And for those of us who just want to enjoy a good movie in the present, it's that too. But I got up in the middle of the clip, ran over, and just hugged him. I was crying on his shoulder, man. It's beautiful. It's beyond beautiful. It's no longer just a movie. It's a cultural event. Everybody has to go.
You also did the popcorn trick on him, if I'm not mistaken.
I brought a bucket, and I was like, reach in and feel my... My force is awakening, my friend.
Hey, Smith, what do you say we show the trailer and break it down tonight during Hollywood Babylon? What do you say?
So if you want to watch two middle-aged men, one of them heavyset, crying on stage at a comedy club, come tonight and watch us cry over this trailer.
That sounds like a good time.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know how to sell it.
For those of us who like this sort of thing, the idea of collecting together 200 people and bawling together, that's emotional, dude. That's a release, a cathartic release.
Yeah, there'll be lots of releasing going on tonight when they're doing that show.
I'm going to go release right now. I'll try it one more time. I'm gonna find my time machine right in my hands and go right back in time.
It's tonight at the Melrose Improv in Hollywood, the Improv Legendary Comedy Club. Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon. We're going to be on stage tonight, and as promised, we will break down this trailer. Thanks for calling in, Mr. Smith.
I'll see you tonight, my hubby.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for tonight's show if you want to watch Kevin release himself.
I don't think.
Come on!
I want to see
you. Want it. You know you want it.
I don't want that.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Stone, 27 years old today. Lamar Odom, apparently on the mend. He's walking these days without his walker already.
Fantastic.
So it's...
He's going to be the best player on the Lakers if
he started
tonight.
You're on fire, Dean.
In a dark, dark place.
I tell you.
Lamar Odom's 36 years old.
Asshole.
Darren Manning's 37 as Thandie Newton celebrates her 43rd birthday today. Rebecca Romijn is also 43. Ethan Hawke's 45. Maria Shriver is 60. Glenn Frey of the Eagles, 67 years old today. And actress and Academy Award winner Sally Field celebrates her 69th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't think I'm exaggerating, you guys, if I say that the 30 for 30 series from ESPN Films is the greatest documentary series of all time. Would you guys agree with me on that?
Absolutely, yes.
Unbelievable what a phenomenal job they do with their stories about sports. And they got another new one that is great that premieres this Tuesday night at 8 on ESPN. It is called Chasing Tyson. It is all about the five-time heavyweight champion of the world, Evander Holyfield, who is on the phone. We will talk to him after this clip from the show.
When I beat Tyson, it seemed like the whole world relaxed and said, "You the man. You the man." That's when I actually felt that the real heavyweight champion was. I didn't get due respect to that.
But there was always in the back of people's minds, did he really beat the best Mike Tyson? Or did he beat a guy who had been beaten down by himself and by the system? The attention, even in victory, wasn't on Holyfield. It was on Tyson's loss.
What a fascinating story. The real deal of Evander Holyfield on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, champ? Welcome to the program, sir.
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great as well. What did you think about the angle that this documentary chose to use, which even in calling it Chasing Tyson, making that the centerpiece of the story about you and your storied boxing career?
Because the reality was the fact that Tyson did so well and he got so much attention that people tend to forget about all the other fighters. You know, of course, I've been fighting ever since I was 8 years old. Tyson and I, we came up in the amateur program together, and I made the Olympic team. He did. And of course, my goal was to be the heavyweight champion of the world. But I became the cruiserweight champion first. Then afterwards, when I moved to the heavyweight division but they called the shots because he was the guy that was destroying everybody. So I waited to my turn, and when I thought it was going to be my turn, he lost against Buster Douglas. Then I remember after that fight, people looking at me and said, "Oh man, oh, you lost your opportunity." And I said, "How did I lose my opportunity?" I said, "My goal was to be the heavyweight champion of the world, not to just fight Tyson." It wasn't nothing in my mind saying that because Tyson lost, I don't want to fight anymore. I beat Buster Douglas. I become the champion. And all of a sudden, everybody said, "Well, you ain't beat Mike Tyson." I said, "Well, Mike, I just beat the guy that beat Mike." I said, "That's what I did."
Should be enough. Right.
But did it make you angry? Were you upset because you were the heavyweight champion of the world and people were still saying, "Yeah, but"?
No, it didn't. All my whole life, me coming up and living in the ghetto, these are the things that, you wasn't going to get everybody on your side. And my mama told me something that kind of made me feel comfortable and realize that I wouldn't ever get everybody on my side. Because my mama said, "Jesus, perfect. He couldn't get everybody on his side. What makes you think So I realized I wouldn't ever get everybody on my side.
This is the voice of Evander Holyfield here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I suspect the answer is going to have something to do with your faith, your strong belief in Jesus, Evander. But I was so impressed in the documentary with the grace at which you handled yourself throughout your entire career. I mean, part of what made Mike Tyson so famous, not just his fighting ability, was that he was a thug, that he was getting in fights, that he went to jail for rape, that he would say inflammatory things, that he had bad behavior, he would bite you in the ear. I mean, he did so many awful things that just did nothing but make him a better star. And so often you were just over here being a good citizen, not getting in any trouble, just being a quiet champion. And it seemed like in some ways that worked against you, I would think. I mean, and I don't know how you were able to handle that so well.
Well, the thing is that as a kid, I lived in the ghetto, and I wanted to be like everybody that was in the ghetto. But my mama said, "No way, you're not going to be that way. My mama told me I wasn't poor. She said she was poor. And I said, "But you don't have to be poor. All you got to do is do what I asked you to do." And I did what my mama asked me to do, and I'm this person. So, so the big thing was, now, why would I turn back to
to this miserable lifestyle, which my mama don't like anyway. And the most important thing, I wouldn't be who I am if I ain't had that mama who stayed on me, that wouldn't let me do nothing that everybody in the ghetto did. And I realized and said, wow, my mama had a sixth grade education and she raised me. God, man, I don't want that. And everybody used to think I was in the service. I came from a different type of family because I just said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, and all that. My mama told me to look people in the eyes. And all these things I did correctly gave me this opportunity to be who I am today. Because I made a lot of mistakes, but my mama said a good attitude will carry you a lot farther than your talent. And I'm doing well because I have a good attitude.
I got to tell you, watching this particular program, which is great, I think I'm more afraid of your mom than I am of you.
Well, yeah, that would be the person. Yeah.
Champ, I've always wanted to ask you this question, and I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to have you here on the Kevin Bean Show today. And that is, when you were diagnosed with a heart problem that looked like it was going to end your boxing career, at one point you got up on stage with the Reverend Benny Hinn. And he did the thing that we've seen so often where he touched your chest and you fell backwards and were caught by the people on the stage there. And you believed, it seemed like at the time, that divine intervention helped heal your heart and enabled you to fight again. Is that accurate, sir?
That is accurate. But the crazy thing that people don't know, that I didn't want to fight no more. Because I felt that... By then saying I got a bad heart, that I ain't got to fight no more, so I ain't got to worry about, I ain't got, you know, because the thing is that a lot of people told me, so you're going to be just like Ali, you're going to get your brain beat out, you ain't going to have no money when you quit, and all this. And so what I didn't want to do, I didn't want to lose my brain, and I didn't want to lose my money. So at that time, when everything was over, I had money and all this, and so I was glad that I wasn't going to fight no more. So when he told me I was here, to kind of messed it up.
Right? You're like, keep it to yourself.
You're like, don't tell me I'm better. I'm happy this way.
Well, what I'm saying, I didn't, because I knew if to be here, that means I had to go out and prove it.
Sure.
Right.
So all of a sudden, and it took, after all the people, it took one little kid, I remember coming from the thing, and I go down to Houston. I was in Houston just in the restaurant. And the kid said, "Miss Holyfield, I heard that you got healed." And I said, "Yeah, I did." And I was all happy. Then he said, "Then are you going to fight again?"
Jeez, kid. Come on.
All of a sudden, it was like, man, God, doggy, what do I tell this kid? I said, "Well, yeah, I will." And, you know, that was the proving point that I had to fight. So the thing is that after that, you know what? I become the heavyweight champion three more times. And so it's a proven point.
Well, it is a fascinating, fascinating story about one of our great champions, Evander Holyfield, the real deal himself. ESPN Films 30 for 30. It's called Chasing Tyson. It premieres this Tuesday night at 8 on ESPN. A real pleasure to have you on the show, Mr. Holyfield. Thanks so much for calling in.
Well, thank you.
This is a head-spinning half hour here on the show.
It really is. Radio whiplash.
Did we talk to Kevin Smith about the new Japanese Star Wars trailer? Did that happen?
Yes.
And then we hung up on him, and then we talked to Evander Holyfield about the Tyson documentary,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking beekeeping with Ian Ziering from Sharknado?
This is happening.
All of that is
happening.
That is happening.
Yep.
Ian and Aaron Ziering on the phone with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Good morning.
Great. Good morning.
Great to have you on. Ian, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We spent some time with you on the Sharknado Wars last year. Yesterday in the Showbiz Report, we were told that you guys are going to Ace Hardware in Studio City this morning, and it involves bees. And that's all we needed to hear to go get them on the phone. Let's find out what the hell's up.
Well, first of all, can't tell you how much we appreciate you guys helping us get the word out. The bees are they're under attack. I mean, most people know about this. We're losing bees at an alarming rate. And bees were brought into my life because my wife, Erin, is a third-generation beekeeper.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yep.
Erin, you are the hottest beekeeper in the world.
Thank you.
Right?
That's true. But, thank you.
Explain to people, because, look, we've talked about this on the show on and off over the years, because you're right, this has become a very big news story with very dire consequences. To the average listener who thinks, hey, it's good news if there are fewer bees because I don't want to get stung, tell them why they're so wrong.
Well, two-thirds of all the food we eat are generated by pollinating species like bees. And right now, you know, in the last couple of years, the bee populations are down over 30%. There's a huge die-off going on. And, you know, the bees are facing a lot of trouble on a lot of different fronts. But one of the biggest problems are pesticides. And this is something that we can put a stop to right now. So how can we not do something? Because our future depends on it as well.
Ian and Aaron, both of you, this question is for both of you. When the topic was first brought up, I thought, we're not going to talk about bees. Is it a difficult thing to get people to take seriously?
Well, you know, here in Los Angeles, I'm an urban beekeeper. We have a hive at our house. I've got a super up on my roof. And, you know, Aaron really trained me. We have a mentor as well. But, you know, we were expecting about 60 pounds of honey from our super, but it only delivered 25 pounds based on the amount of water and the environment. And it's a direct, you know, effect of the fact that we're having problems with our bees.
Mm. And what's happening at Ace Hardware today? And it's the reason you chose them to protest Ace Hardware in Studio City, because they sell these pesticides that you're against?
We're looking for them to make a commitment to stop selling the neonic-containing plants and products as soon as possible.
The neonicotinoids are the pesticides that are in over 500 products. And, you know, they do a great job. But they're doing a great job at something we don't want them to do. There's other ways to sustain our crops, and we just have to find alternative ways to make that happen. These companies that make these pesticides, Bayer, for example, they need to innovate. If they innovate, their business is going to grow. I think they probably know that, but it's a systemic pesticide. It's not just something that sits on the outside of the plant. It gets into the system. And if it's getting into the system of the plant, well, it's getting into our systems as well. Don't even get me started on what that causes, because there's not enough science to support that.
Probably sharknadoes. My guess is it causes sharknadoes.
Right. It's a bee-nado problem that we have. And, you know, my wife Erin and I are trying to really be a force for good to help, you know, help usher things along. Now, Ace Hardware and True Value have said they've been willing to reduce or even remove the pesticides, but not till 2019. That's too late. We need to get this stuff moving off the shelves as quickly as possible. We want to see them do it by December 2016. This is doable. I'm leveraging my celebrity to help raise awareness. Erin is helping me do this. And together we're going to be down at the Ace Hardware in Studio City this morning at 10 a.m., to deliver them a letter, and anyone that shows up, we'll ask them to sign this letter as well. This is not a protest. This is just a gathering to help illuminate something that needs to be changed.
Yeah, raise awareness. So, Aaron, did you go on the beekeeper message boards and get all the other Southern California beekeepers to commit to come down and walk with you?
We definitely put it up with the Honey Love organization on their message boards and started a meetup group for today. And we also put it on Ian's social media, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
We're blessed with that, but with your help, it certainly really gets the word out there. I can't thank
you. We're happy to do it. 10 o'clock this morning at the Ace Hardware in Studio City. I got to get me some beekeeping. I was telling the guys yesterday, seriously, Ian and Aaron, when I retire, when I've got the time, man, I'm really looking forward to being a beekeeper, because I think it is fascinating.
You're going to beat it up.
I am going to beat it up.
Right?
Aaron, real quick.
It's, you know what? It's not hard to do. It's just been made legal here in Los Angeles to be an urban beekeeper. And you know what? Contact me. I'll help you get started. It's the coolest thing ever. And
I would rather learn from Aaron, but thank you, Ian. I appreciate the invitation.
too.
All right. It is on Twitter, at Ian Ziering or at Aaron Ziering. Again, it's going to be Ace Hardware Studio City at 10 o'clock this morning. So the kids are going to be leaving in just 3 minutes. We're sending our own beer mug from the Kevin and Bean Show down there, too, to also be part of the event. And that's going to be down there if any of our listeners want to swing on by and add their support to put some pressure on Ace Hardware about the pesticides. Have fun, you guys. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Just announced 1 hour ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, a K-Rock private show with the band Coldplay at the Belasco Theater 1 week from tonight, Friday night, November 13th. Go to krock.com for all the details. Keep listening for your chance to win. That is coming up in minutes as well. I love coffee, big coffee drinker, as many people do.
Right.
And I'm confused by why there needs to be a pop-up shop in New York City that only sells decaffeinated coffee. What can you guys tell me about this? What's this all about?
It's the name of the place is the Swiss Water Coffee Studio, and it's a pop-up shop where they sell pretty much every type of coffee, but there's just no caffeine.
Well, here's the thing. It's a sensory experience that they call the art of coffee without caffeine. But they want you to taste it and not get the jitters. They want you just to feel how coffee tastes instead of expecting
the next result.
But
most people don't get the jitters from caffeine, do they? Don't most people drink the coffee because the caffeine makes them feel better?
Yes. By having energy.
Yeah. Gives you a little boost.
Right. Yeah.
I have many questions, and that's why I'm glad Dave was able to line up for us the manager of the Swiss Water Coffee Studio in New York. His name is Dave Klott, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Dave.
Hey.
We have this, Greg. You run the pop-up shop, the Swiss Water Coffee Studio in Manhattan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. And what can you tell us about it? Why are you selling decaffeinated-only coffee at that location?
Because a lot of people don't like caffeine in their coffee.
But can't you order it caffeine-free at a regular, you know, Starbucks? Or?
I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm out.
Do you think it's – I mean, when you say people don't like the caffeine, why? What complaints did you hear about the way coffee has been sold for so long until you came along?
Well, a lot of people drink coffee and then they say, oh, boy, now I'm all awake and full of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck, right?
Well, I think a lot of people actually have to have their fix before they get to work. I mean, they really need it.
But then you're missing out on all the calming effects of a nice – steaming hot cup of brown water.
Right.
I feel like, Mr. Clinton, I mean, no offense here, you may be too calm.
My friends say I'm like a live wire.
Do they?
Your friends must be amazing to hang out with.
Well, they're all here.
They are?
Oh.
Everybody here at the Swiss Water Decaf Coffee Shop.
Mm-hmm. Tell them all hi from us.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Tell them.
Hey, Alan. Alan, I'm talking to the guys on the radio.
It is a party.
Wow.
Maybe, I know this sounds like a terrible idea to you, but maybe some coffee with caffeine would help.
That kind of defeats the whole purpose.
I guess it would, yeah.
You can come on down to some of our other pop-ups here in Manhattan.
Oh, you have others?
We got Danny McSober's Pub.
And they don't sell alcohol there?
No, we've got alcohol-free beer.
Yeah.
Mm. We've got alcohol-free wine.
Okay.
That's terrible.
We've got a new ice cream parlor we're opening up.
Yeah.
It's non-dairy, sugarless.
What's that called?
The Flavor Water Creamery.
How's that one doing?
It's great. We got a pizza parlor with no meat and no crust called the Soft Bowl.
The Soft Bowl?
Sauce Bowl. You need some coffee. You know,
16-12-1.
Hello. It's me,
Victor Fuentes.
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to me to go over
what?
Everything.
Yeah.
They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
What?
I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger.
I'm 19, homeboy.
And free.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference.
Hell no.
Between us and a million miles.
Hey, too much information and shit, man.
Hello from the other side.
No.
I must have called a thousand times.
A couple.
To tell you I'm sorry.
All right, this is. No.
At least I can see that I'm trying to tell you I'm sorry.
All right, hold.
For breaking your heart, but it don't matter. It clearly doesn't tear you apart anymore.
Yes, hey, you don't gotta bring all that siren and come like quiet and
hello.
Hello.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
That is DJ Omar Khan's Victor Fuentes mix of Adele's Hello, the number one song in America.
No, it's good not. Stuff. It's a duet with Adele and Victor Fuentes.
Oh, right.
Oh, sorry. The whole album is. Bona Five?
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
The whole album.
Well, they're dating now, so I think they
want
to work together.
What?
Yeah. That's why you come to the Showbiz Beat for all that kind of info.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hey, at the end of the Showbiz Beat, we're going to give away some more Coldplay tickets, but not right now because we've got the lines cleared and open for you at 1-800-520-1067. If you are a race car driver fan, then we're looking for you.
Good sell.
Are they not race car driver fans?
Sure.
Sure. If you're a motorhead, shall we say, how about a one-day ticket, a pair of them, to the Auto Club NHRA Finals? It's coming up next weekend at the Auto Club Raceway. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 through 24. You win right now from the world-famous K-Rock. All right, Ralph, take it away.
Well, if you heard a little while ago, my buddy Kevin Smith called in to talk about the Japanese Star Wars trailer that everybody at Twitter. Literally, on Twitter and off Twitter. They're all Twittering. Because it's got a lot of extra bonus footage that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Maybe some clues in there.
A lot of the clips that we've seen so far sort of are in each one. Like, they're a lot of the same clips.
Yeah,
this is a lot.
Chock full of new stuff.
It's pretty sweet.
I'm going to check that out online. And Smith and I will be breaking it down frame by frame, like the Zapruder film. Tonight in Hollywood Babylon at the Melrose Improv in Hollywood.
No. Okay.
We're going to be playing that music when we come out.
Dressed as a stormtrooper?
I'll probably be Chewbacca.
That was not good. Ralph. Better.
Better?
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph, did you tell us what your Halloween costume was last weekend?
I was the Man of Steel.
Superman.
Okay, nice.
I was all over Facebook and Twitter in that costume. Being unaware.
He knows.
No, he doesn't. Remember how long he bitched him on because I had him blocked on Twitter? And then I unblocked him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he won't follow me now.
He's doing the right thing.
Bean.
You were doing the right thing. Now he's doing the right thing.
So now I think I need to go back and block him. Right?
This relationship is complicated.
Wait, because Ralph, you followed him.
I did, yes.
Bean.
I didn't know. I thought maybe because we had teased it quite a bit last week that you wouldn't say what the costume was. I thought maybe some of our listeners may not have heard what your costume was. That's why I asked.
Oh, I see. Playing dumb for the people. I
feel like
they deserve
an answer.
Taking a cue from Kevin there and playing dumb for the
How
audience.
How dare you?
Try to make him feel better.
He was super.
I'm not nearly as good at it as Kevin is.
So well, to be clear, you do follow Ralph now.
No.
No.
Okay.
But, glad we cleared that up.
I still like to stay current.
Just muddy the waters.
Shall we?
Go to improv.com to get your tickets and come out and enjoy us. We'll have a good time.
No.
This is great news for all you Blink-182 fans. Finally, Blink is re-releasing all their classic albums on cassette tape.
I'm sorry. Hold, yes. Please.
You know how long you've been aching for something new for your Walkman? Well, now you've got it.
You just said cassette. What did you mean?
I meant cassette tapes.
I don't have a cassette player.
Well, you are screwed, son.
It's out on vinyl and CD and cassette as
right,
well.
Right.
Yeah.
Open up a blog.
You know, it brings you back to the first time you heard Blink on CD, the way they originally released. It's not even nostalgia. Because when they first came out, they were on CD.
Right.
It's time machine mentality. What happened if we were banned in the 70s? What would we sound like? Crap on cassette. When's the 8-tracks coming out?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
That's right. Turn on that cassette.
Right.
Press record.
Mm-hmm.
No one does that. Dude Ranch from 97, Enema of the State, The Mark, Tom, and Travis Show, and Blink-182 from 2003, all being released in limited edition cassettes. So order soon before they sell out. I'm sure there's some hipster douchebags that'll buy them.
Ralph, this has become quite the hipster thing. Numerous bands who have been putting out cassette-only releases in the
really?
Last couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah, and they have now. They have you know how they have Record Store Day. Now they also have a cassette day too, a National Cassette Day, where they do a bunch of things too.
Open up a blog.
What's wrong?
It's a thing.
It's not.
It's a thing.
It's. I'm telling you, it's not.
Bean says it's a thing.
All right. Look, there was a time where vinyl, people were saying vinyl's a thing, and everybody's like, vinyl is stupid, and no one cares, and it's over. Now it sells a lot of copies. Not compared to downloads, obviously, but there's a sizable market for it. I don't know if cassette's going to catch on like vinyl has, but there are certainly some people out there at least trying to bring it back.
Well, nothing's more fun than trying to pull the tape out of your machine once it clogs.
Right. And then stick that pencil
get the pencil in there and rewinding it by hand to get it back. Get it taut again. It was a bad technology.
It really was. At least vinyl people thought sounded different, and they liked
right.
the warmth of it or whatever, but cassettes
pretty
were
simple,
always bad.
Pretty simple. Just put the needle on top of it and just walk away. But cassettes, oh, your thing's snagging and tearing and stretching. And come on now.
Well, let's remember, the only reason cassettes were invented was to make music portable.
Right.
That's it.
So you can put it in your car.
Right, and now we have lots of ways to make music portable that don't involve tape.
Right.
Silver Lake, not washing your hair in tight jeans.
Yep.
Hipsters.
Right.
Silver Lake. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Fuck hipsters and Silver Lake.
And other things. Speaking of which, Hipster Barbie. She's quitting. She's quitting Instagram.
Oh, no.
Hipster Barbie skyrocketed to fame in a mere 22 weeks, but now she's disappearing from social media. Here's the reason. The mastermind behind the idea, it was basically photos of Barbie dressed up as a hipster doing things to mock hipster trends.
Right.
Turns out the hipsters loved her, and she very quickly racked up 1.3 million followers on Instagram.
Wow.
And that made the guy behind the idea, Darby Cisneros, very unhappy. Because it turned out what he was doing to mock hipsters was embraced by hipsters, and they started to follow him. So now he's like, F this, and he's getting off Instagram. He was even getting offers from big companies to promote their products. That's how successful he was on Instagram
wow.
as Hipster Barbie.
So it's available?
I guess it is. I guess if you want to go and recreate it, you can. But it was crazy how very popular, very quickly it got. And now Darby has said, well, this is not what I intended at all. So he has signed off, or she rather, Hipster Barbie has signed off with a bevy of hashtags. Hashtag RIP, hashtag shop local, hashtag vintage, hashtag organic, hashtag gluten free, hashtag fair trade, hashtag blessed. That's my favorite.
Sure.
Hashtag Portland, hashtag flannel, and many, many more. So you can check it out for yourself. Freaking hipsters. Right? Who's with me?
Your stupid Movember.
You know what else we don't need?
Let's not get started with that.
Another Real Housewives show, but it's coming. Bravo announced they are starting the Real Housewives of a brand new city, but they won't reveal where.
Oh,
it's a secret.
Where could it be?
And it's going to be a surprise.
I hope it's Portland and they're all hipsters.
They've already got New York, Atlanta, Orange County. Where else they got? Any others?
Beverly Hills?
Beverly Hills, yeah, I think they do. No word yet on where the new franchise will be, but... Oh, I'm hoping Riverside. Great. Real Housewives of Riverside.
That's already on. It's called Cops.
Oh, wow.
Kevin Ryan, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean.
Standing on.
Take it easy.
Kevin, don't say another word. Just walk out the door and go home and have a good
mic,
weekend.
Kevin.
Drop the mic.
That was
You're
strong.
Done.
And I do want to give a shout out to my friend George Barris, who passed away yesterday morning. He was the guy who gave Hollywood some of its coolest cars. Built them not only for movies and TV shows, but also for the stars as well. He was a great car customizer and, of course, close to my heart because he put together the Batmobile from the 1960s TV series with Adam West and Burt Ward, a legendary TV car. And the Beverly Hillbillies car, the Munsters car, a bunch of great other movie and TV cars. He passed away at the age of 89. So condolences to George's family. And I just saw him not too long ago. I was hanging out with him when Adam got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He was there with the Batmobile, and we were chatting for a while.
Adam West is who Ralph's talking about for those of you.
Yes, yes. And then recently, about a year ago, our buddies up at Galpin Motors did a very special event at the Galpin Autosports there where they honored George and his achievements over the years. So he was up there with his daughter and just a great guy. Very nice man. Always very nice to me when we had a chance to hang out. So
did he design your yellow car?
He did not design the the Grabber Orange Mustang, Kevin.
The banana mobile. Currently, the yellow one that you're driving?
No, it's orange.
Did you get a different one?
It is. No, it didn't. It's always been. It's always been Grabber Orange is the official color of the Ford Mustang that I drive based on the Parnelli Jones car from the 1970 Trans Am race.
But the one before that was yellow.
Nope. No one before that. Just that. It was just that one that was orange. The orange car.
Right. You got the orange car after the yellow one.
There was no yellow one. There was only one. And it has always been
yellow.
Orange.
But Mr. Wizard was syndicated at some point, right?
No. On the network.
Wrong.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Sit down.
Emma Stone's 27 years old today. Boy, she's great.
It's a good deal. Vance, she was sure great in Birdman, wasn't she?
She's great in everything. Just great.
She's great in everything.
Lamar Odom's 36. Taryn Manning celebrates her 37th birthday. Sandy Newton and Rebecca Romijn are both 43 years old today. Ethan Hawke's 45. Maria Shriver celebrates her 60th birthday today. Glenn Frey of the Eagles fame, 67. And actress Sally Field, Oscar-winning actress, who started off on television as a nun who could fly when the wind caught her hat. You think I'm kidding.
Wait, that was a thing?
That was a thing.
The Flying Nun.
It was a show called The Flying Nun.
Come on, Kevin. No need to flip me off.
Where she would hold on to her hat, and the wish she was so small.
What if
Kevin,
she needed to fly, but there was no wind?
Then God always gave her wind, Kevin.
Okay, all right.
God does not. God bloweth, and he sucketh.
I don't think that's
and the
a
wind
statement.
Always,
I don't think that's ever been.
Always is provided.
It's not a
for
thing.
Those who are pure of heart and untainted of vulva.
That's in Deuteronomy.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Victoria Beerbowser from Huntington Beach. Just got tickets to see Coldplay. We made the announcement earlier this morning, a K-Rock-only Coldplay show, which is happening at the Belasco Theater. It is downtown. It is 1 week from tonight, next Friday. Your chance to win is coming up between 9 and 6 at the top of each hour. We're going to open up the phone lines for Kevin Abeen's What's Good. Next, 1-800-520-1067. We've taken calls this week on people who haven't seen any of the Star Wars movies, to people who think that Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord. A lot of talk today about the new trailer that came out in Japan. If you want to talk sports, there's Lakers, there's Clippers, there's Kings. Those are the only local teams I can think of. TV shows, whatever, Supergirl, Ash vs. Evil Dead, whatever's on your mind, whatever you think we need to talk about, 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let me at Lena, my mortal enemy. I want to go to her call first. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin Abeen's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
What is good indeed? Last hour we talked to, I know this is going to be hard to believe for people who weren't listening, but we did talk to actor Ian Ziering about his protest about pesticides being sold at Ace Hardware because they're killing all the bees, he says.
Right.
And Lena's calling to say what from Mission Viejo on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lena, what's your story here?
I had a nightmare when I was little about a bee killing my older sister and then coming after me.
Right.
And I woke up screaming.
Uh-huh.
And I'm definitely afraid of bees ever since then. Like, they can all die.
They can all die.
Well, you're getting your wish, Lena.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing.
There are lots of opinions
on this topic. One of them is not generally they can all die.
Yeah. And here's the thing also. There are lots of different kinds of bees. I get it if people are afraid of wasps. Nobody wants to be stung by a wasp, even though most of the time they don't sting you. But most of the bees in the world are pollination bees. They're honeybees. They're bees that are doing nothing but helping us make apples and tomatoes and onions and all sorts of stuff. No bees, no food is where we're at, Lena.
Bean, that's the thing that people don't understand. So just say quickly what no beans means for humanity.
No beans would be great.
No bees.
Oh, bees. Okay.
No bees. What does it mean?
Because they understand that they're beneficial.
All right. Sorry, your phone's cutting out.
I think we lost her. I think she was saying she understands that they can be beneficial, but she's still afraid of them. Just that they pollinate plants. Mm-hmm. That's why. They pollinate the things that make the food. That's why you don't want to lose bees.
So no food.
All right. No bees, no food.
I have one follow-up question, and we can take some more calls. Is this the second hour in a row we're talking about bees? Is that accurate?
It is. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Let's try Trent, who's my next mortal enemy. He's up in Riverside on line 8, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to be part of the Kevin Bean Show for Kevin Bean's What's Good. Hi, Trent. Thank you for calling, and thank you for holding on, sir.
I think I'm okay with that title.
Mortal enemy.
Good morning,
okay.
Kevin
mortal
Bean.
Enemy.
Good morning,
hi there.
Good morning,
Trent. So somebody made a comment earlier about November, and then there was a general sigh of just discuss regarding this whole thing. I'm just curious as to what you guys are aware regarding the actual event.
All right, listen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times people get us mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those times where I would rather people didn't get us mistaken. Bean hates all things Movember.
And the sigh wasn't general disgust. It was disgust for Bean's take on Movember. Okay. And here, you're about to hear why, because he doesn't even understand what Movember is. Bean, take it away.
Well, I think I understand what it is. It's
a good
setup. It's meant to raise awareness for men's health issues, right?
Go ahead, Trent.
Specifically, it's for testicular cancer, prostate cancer, and just overall mental health.
Okay, I'm fine with all of that. I think everybody should be aware and people should get checked for those things. What I don't like is the fact that Movember seems to have been hijacked by the vast majority of people who participate in are just growing dumb mustaches. That's all it is. It's all about how can I shave my face in a funny way. Look, I woke up this morning and got online, and the first thing I saw is, here's what the British royal family would look like if they celebrated Movember.
Oh, I want to see that.
A picture of Queen Elizabeth with a beard.
Where?
And I'm not talking about Prince Philip either, by the way. And I'm just saying that's what it has been taken over by. It has been taken over by just the goddamn hipsters and their facial hair, most of whom I don't think have anything to do with wanting to raise awareness about men's health.
But how much can it possibly bother you?
And how much can it really hurt, considering the fact that this is becoming a global issue, and so more people are becoming aware of this event, and therefore more people are questioning, you know, why are men all of a sudden trying to grow out these really weird mustaches or trying to grow Gandalf beards? And then you have people who are asking these questions, and then they start figuring out,
Be aware of men's health all you want. Don't grow a Gandalf beard. That's all I'm saying. Can't both of those things exist?
Basically, you're saying that like that people shouldn't wear pink to raise awareness for breast cancer.
That was exactly our point. Yes, we had this discussion off the air, and we were getting very heated about it because I say any awareness is good awareness. And if a guy has a weird mustache, you're like, dude, Steven, you've never had a mustache before. You look silly. Well, what I'm doing is it starts a conversation. That's what
like
it's
it.
For.
I don't like
and then,
it, and I will
then,
not
then,
allow
I
it.
I will give you this little bit. Like, you have men who are going out to very large companies and are asking them to pledge, you know, if I don't shave my beard, shave any facial hair for a month, will you match a donation to a company that is going out and looking for more ways to help cure all these different kinds of male issues? Like,
Trent, we're with you. I don't understand, but Bean hates
you. Yes, we support you 100%, Trent.
Bean is just upset because he can't grow any facial hair. I think that's what it comes down to.
Thank you for the call, Trent. Boy, Lena and then Trent, this is a tough day for me on the phone.
Let's do what you got, Bean.
Let's take Andy. I think I like Andy. He's in Paramount. He's on line one. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, good morning. I like you too, man.
What's good?
What's going on?
Hey, have you guys seen that new Hotline Bling video by Drake?
Sure.
Yes. Hells yeah.
Hell yeah. Did you help him choreograph the moves or something then?
I think his dancing is hilarious, and I think for folks who haven't seen the video, that's all it is, just Drake dancing to this song that's a big hit called Hotline Bling, and people are mocking his dancing, making fun of his dancing, like how can he be so bad? But clearly, am I wrong, Allie? He's doing it to be funny, right?
I hope he is, but I don't think he is.
It doesn't matter. What's great about it is that everybody is putting their own music to that video.
And their own faces and everything to him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
I've seen the one with Donald Trump
is the best.
Yes.
Drake is a tremendous artist, I think, who has really done an excellent job of harnessing the power of the internet for his own promotion. I mean, he's always been great. He's always been involved in lots of memes and stuff. I think he knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew exactly what was going to happen when this video came out. Really? How come?
You really think he planned for it to go that way, though?
I think he's one of those guys. It wouldn't surprise me if he was that smart.
I also think he probably isn't a good dancer, too. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know what to do with that. Andy, are you just not a Drake fan? Is that where this is coming from?
Not a big Drake fan, but you know what? After all of the parodies, I kind of like the song now.
After the parodies, now you enjoy the original.
A little bit, yeah.
How do you feel about bees?
You know what? I'd quit my job and raise them just like Dean if I could.
Boom. Wow. There we go, Andy.
You and me, man. Andy right there. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling. Wrong answer. Thank you. What's good? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40. Ralph, I know you're a big fan of Kevin and Bean listener Edwin, who frequently writes in and contributes gems that you like to read during the Showbiz Beat.
I think we should hire him. That's how much
You didn't read this one. How dare Ralph disparage the Peanuts movie during the movie beat today? Doesn't he realize that Snoopy is the one who defeated the Red Baron? I will not stand by and listen to our brave troops be disrespected like this. Ralph owes Snoopy an apology. If not for Snoopy, we would all be speaking German. Hell yeah, Edwin. Hell yeah. Yes. Is that accurate?
I think Edwin may be being sarcastic and ironic in that particular.
I don't think so. I think he's spot on with this one.
Well, I would like to apologize to all of our World War One listeners. A lot of World War One vets I know do tune into the show, and I do want to give them a thank you for all they did during the big one.
How many of them are listening?
There are none left, I don't think.
I don't think there are any alive today, are there?
So F them, right? Who's with me?
Well, no, I don't think we're saying that.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
What we're saying is go see the Peanuts movie this weekend like Allie and I are going to, okay?
That's
what we're saying.
Oh, I hope the little redhead girl notices me.
But don't you think that just breaks your heart when you see how in love Charlie Brown is with the little red-haired girl. He can't even get up the courage to say hi to her.
Well, then he should grow
a pair. How are
you
not invested in that?
And sack up, Baldy.
He's a little kid.
He has sack that up. One pube on his head. He's not bald.
He's a little kid.
Then what's he doing messing with women anyway?
Right.
He's got bigger problems. Like, learn how to play effing baseball, you weenie. And how to fly a kite without getting it caught in a tree. And kick the goddamn football.
Well, he can. She keeps taking it away.
Well, then learn not to, dumbass.
I don't get it.
I may have identified too much with Charlie Brown in that
The truth. Mm-hmm.
The truth. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
One thing we've learned from the What's Good segment is Bean has lots of mortal enemies.
Sure does.
Sure has a whole
passel. Sure hates a lot of people.
A passel, as we used to say back in the old time Westie.
That's not even a full-time Westie.
Dear Bean, Carolyn writes in, I work as a radiation therapist in Orange County.
And Charlie Brown once had cancer and I cured him.
No. Oh. I give radiation therapy treatments to men who have prostate cancer. None of these men are growing out mustaches or beards. I agree with you. Movember is stupid. From what I've seen so far, these men who have grown out mustaches are just doing it to look like child molesters. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yeah.
Got to go to work now and save some lives. Yeah. Miss Carolyn Rogers.
Well, shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
Well, maybe, Carolyn, maybe it's the radiation and the chemo that's keeping the guys from growing a lot of hair on their face.
Yeah.
Maybe that might be part of the problems. But I'm glad you have so much sympathy. Hope you're working on me.
Or they're not child molesters like everyone else who's growing those dumb mustaches.
I think Kevin hit on it. Bean cannot grow a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And so
He's facially hair challenged.
Right. He's like one of those supervillains in the comic books who's just so frustrated by his inability to do something that he lashes out at society. He's bald face. The evil bald face is wreaking havoc on our city. We have to call Captain Stash. That's a man who's able to grow a luxurious, thick, full mustache.
That doesn't look good.
That looks awesome.
That's what I meant.
I think Movember is a worthy cause, and I support it wholeheartedly. And if I gave a rat's ass, I would grow a mustache.
It's too much work to not shave, I guess.
I'm just... I've just traumatized my child so much with the on-again, off-again mustache in the past couple of years. I think she's grown accustomed to not having it. So she gets very upset when I grow my mustache.
Because it sucks.
Well, there's that, sure. Wait a minute. Isn't this supposed to be about show business news?
Sort of, yeah.
All right, let's get to some of it. Hey, this sounds awful. USA Network has announced a reality competition series called First Impressions, hosted by Dana Carvey of Saturday Night Live fame. It'll be a half-hour show where amateur impressionists attempt to imitate famous people, and the viewers at home get to crown each week's winner.
Why are you crapping on this show and not winning this show?
First of all, because
that's a ringer.
My impressions are
spot on,
serviceable at best. And even as a guy who does them, who has to do them to make money. I think just a show purely about people trying to sound like other people, that's not a show.
Hey, King of Mexico, come in here and do Ray Romano.
Right? The king.
Spot on, right?
He's a guy.
He can take this one all the way to the finals.
He can win the coveted mirror ball.
Yes, he could, or whatever it is.
Or the mirror throat, or whatever it is. Mirror tongue.
Someone call me.
Here he is now. Hey, Ray Romano.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Deborah.
So that's a show. That's the show.
All right, now I'm in.
time out. I didn't hear what you guys are talking about, so I just
it's
ran.
It's a TV competition about doing voices.
Yeah, it's going to be a reality competition series pitting amateur impersonators against each other.
All right, time in.
All right.
Hey, I could win that. Hey, Deborah, I want to win the show.
Right?
Anyone?
He's got a gift.
Right?
Spot on. He's got a gift.
Spot on.
All right.
Yeah. Time out. Come in.
I don't even know what you're talking about. There's no time out. There's no time in. It's not making sense.
Hey, while we're talking about crappy cartoon characters like the Peanuts, let's talk about some good cartoon characters. Like Oswald the Mother-Loving Rabbit. Right? Who's with me?
I don't know Oswald.
Oswald!
I don't know.
I'm not sure I'm familiar with Oswald either.
Oh,
Oswald
you the rabbit. Son of a bitches. Let me tell you a little story about a man named Walter Elias Disney.
Okay.
Who once upon a time had a dream. He just wanted to entertain the folks.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to do it by taking his crude little drawings and putting them on film and bringing the family together to watch a little animated entertainment. So he came up with a hilarious little fella named Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And he made that cartoon for Universal Studios. And it was a wild, successful hit. And Universal came to him and said, hey, Walter Elias Disney, why don't you F right off? We've got your idea now. We've got your character. We don't need you anymore.
We don't need you so much.
They fired him off of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
That hurts.
So Walt, did he tuck his tail between his legs? Did he go sulk someplace? Did he crawl inside a bottle, Kevin?
Yeah.
No, he did not.
No one ever heard of Walt Disney again.
No, he did not. Sounds like he just went away. Went back to the drawing board and came up with a little fella he liked to call Mortimer Mouse. And his wife said, that's a dumbass name for a mouse. Why don't you call that little fella Mickey? And the next thing you know, boom! Lightning in a bottle. And Oswald the Rabbit faded away into history. Until this week. Not really until this week, because Disney eventually got the character back and started using it again. But for the purposes of this story...
Okay.
He faded away into history until this week, when found in a vault at the British Film Institute in London this week... was the very first Oswald the Lucky Rabbit cartoon, produced in 1928. Boom! For the first time, that cartoon is going to be seen since its original release 87 years ago.
Where can we see it?
at the British Film Institute in London.
Okay, very convenient.
So,
great today, for our listeners.
Only today?
Book your flights.
An hour
you can be
ago.
There by noon.
Book your flight for an hour ago. If you go the other way around the earth, you actually travel back in time and you could be there in time. I good saw tip. That in Superman.
That's excellent information for our listeners.
No, I'm sure it'll be available on the DVD and on the Disney Channel or something soon. But, yeah, it's very cool. For the first time ever, you get to see that cartoon. It's a piece of film history.
Yeah, it sure is.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. That looks remarkably like a long-eared Mickey Mouse. So, you got that going for you. Right? Who's with me? No one. No one is with me.
I'm with you. I would like to see it, sure.
They're making an Amy Winehouse biopic. That should be a story and a half, right?
Yeah.
Life well-lived, that Amy Winehouse. She wrung every last drop out of it. She, of course, passed away at 27 while celebrating the release of her last album.
Wasn't she in the Caribbean for like 5 years or something?
She did take some time off, yeah. But The Hollywood Reporter is reporting that they're going to make the movie with Irish writer and director Kristen Sheridan behind the camera. Now, the one big hurdle they still haven't yet to surmount is Amy's father, Mitch Winehouse, has not yet signed off on using Amy's recordings for the movie, so that is a bit of a drawback. But they have a cast. Noomi Rapace is set to play Amy. You may know her from Prometheus or the original Swedish Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So I'm glad they found a 35-year-old Swede to play the 25-year-old Amy Winehouse, who was a Brit in the movie about.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
I just told you, Rodney. I'm still like, I would still like to see that movie, however. She's a farter and a racist.
She is neither of those things. She was a lovely, talented lady who...
Why would you say that?
Who suffered from a problem with addiction. And Carson Daly has finally chimed in about the relationship between his pals Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton from The Voice. The host revealed on the Today Show that he didn't think Blake could get a girl as hot as Gwen because she's the queen of cool and he's a goofy cowboy. Sure, when I say it, everyone jumps on me.
Yeah.
Carson Daly just called him a goofy cowboy.
Seems pretty accurate.
I think so, too.
Sorry, Miranda, for that.
Carson said he was not shocked after photos leaked of the two being romantic on Halloween, saying they're two of the nicest people in the business. So it sounds like Carson Daly is rooting for them.
I feel like you couldn't hang out with Gwen Stefani without falling in love with her.
I think you're right. A little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Every time we've always been around her here at K-Rock, she's just sweet and charming and beautiful and talented. She's got a lot going on. And then there's Blake Shelton. Hey, yippee-yay-yo-ki-yay, everybody. Look at me.
Nope. Charming, funny, talented.
Hey, where's my mouth harp? Time for me to play out one of those humdingers. No. Yippee-yay-yoo.
Not him at all.
Let me jump on that mechanical bull. Hey, look at my belt buckle. How big is that? It's a hubcap. Freaking cowboy.
Country music sucks.
Right?
No.
Who's ready to go home?
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Stone's 27 years old today. Lamar Odom's 36. Taryn Manning. The least successful of all the Manning quarterbacks, I think, really. She never...
She I mean, she's at all related.
Archie tried with her and tried, nope. And he just drilled her.
An actress, unrelated.
I mean, he put her through
drills. Archie may have drilled her, but she's not a quarterback.
he put her through some drills, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, once Cooper got out of the game, he thought that really Taryn would be the next big thing coming out of the Manning quarterback camp. But
not in that family,
on.
Just the same last
never
name as
caught
all.
On.
Not related.
It's weird how she never caught on. Why didn't Taryn go into football like the rest of the family, I wonder? Fannie Newton is 43 years old, as is Rebecca Romijn. Ethan Hawke is 45. Maria Shriver, 60 years old today. Eagles guitarist and legendary co-writers of all their hits. Glenn Frey is 67. And actress Sally Field is 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Keep listening all weekend long for a chance to win tickets for the K-Rock show with Coldplay. We announced it earlier this morning.
I like this song. It sounds like country.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Pig's feet don't lie.
Right.
Good point.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I can't even.
Roll another one.
Are you ready to get sexy?
Just like the other one.
You won't be disappointed.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
And I need another hit.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Okay.
I love beats.
Sure.
I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I can get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer.
Nope.
Roll.
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 Roll. Roll another one.
So who should you turn to fund your lung?
Just like the other one.
Herbert W. Fink.
This one seems to be about.
Hey, Ally McKay, welcome to the show. Show us your boob.
I have an idea. Chicken burger.
Just pass it around.
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Sorry to crash this sausage party.
Surprised me there at the end. Your finger.
That was my thumb.
It's kind of weird being here for this.
Yeah, we're done here, right?
Yes, we are, we're done.
If I were sitting at home and watching this, I'd be inclined to turn it off.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Nice day, huh? Just wanted to say I'm sorry I have to leave you so soon.
I don't even know you.
Anyway, about time to go dodge those potholes. And go home and fight with those earplugs. And here are the monkeys.